All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning on this Wednesday. I know that usually we have the Give Back Wednesday. We're going to, but it's going to be a little bit later, if you don't mind, because I need to get some things out that is on my heart, you know, just so you can have it for your information. Okay, first of all, just to give you a little bit of watchman warnings, okay, some things that I'm concerned about. Number one is the fact that Trump's, the people that he is, you know, wanting to put on his cabinet are getting pushed to at super fast rates, okay? This is a cause to pause, okay? Yesterday I was listening to a press conference with the new FEMA director, you know, which is Tulsi Gabbard. And, you know, she's already got a lot of, she's Democrat, if I'm correct. So she's got some things that, you know, people are concerned about, but that's the one that he put over FEMA, you know. And she was acting like, you know, she was dressed up real pretty and everything, and she was acting like, you know, we're just here for you guys and whatnot. And then I was looking at some of Trump's conversations he's had, because since I'm still on the press corps, I still get all their stuff. And I was going through there, sifting through it, and I saw that he's been telling all these reporters that he's going to change FEMA. And we knew they was going to change FEMA because of, you know, the debacle that happened with the fires and the debacle that happened with the flooding, so he could come in and be the savior type of deal. Well, he told him, he said, we're going to push the FEMA responsibilities over to the states. Okay. So I don't know exactly what impact that will have, but the fact that he put in, who's the first people that actually got appointed? This should cause everybody to pause. One is the Department of Defense. That's the first one. And the second one is FEMA. I mean, you got to ask yourself, what is coming? So I get a notice yesterday from a lady who sends me a video of Deborah Tavares back in 2021 talking to Stephen Yana about a cyber pandemic. Now, you know that in 2021, I had a dream about a cyber attack coming called the Fiber for the Cyber. In this dream, I saw that they had gathered the information from everybody from a cyber attack, and they were going to use it against you in diabolical ways. I mean, and this is coming. I know the Lord gave this to me. And what it is where, you know, like Jody's on here, and let's say they get all of Jody's data, and then they turn around and they use it against her. So they plaster all her sins, okay? But the thing is are they going to embellish it? Are they going to lie about it? Are they going to make it worse than what it was? We know how they did the guy down in Jamaica. You know, I believe that was a complete lie. You know, and we know what they can do with deepfake. With deepfake, they can manipulate video. They can manipulate audio. I mean, you can't believe nothing you see and hear these days type of deal. So I know what God told me back in 2021. Okay, so anyways, in this video, she's talking about a cyber attack coming to the world, not just the United States. But she said they would call it a COVID cyber attack. So I took some notes, and I want you guys to be sober and alert to this. Okay, because I looked it up, and they're actually talking about it right now, about some serious cyber threats coming. But I do believe it's not going to actually happen until they get their infrastructure in. Because according to her, everything's going to be shut down. And, you know, they're going to gather all of this information from everybody's computers. So they've got to have the fiber in, which should be this year, you know. So maybe this could happen sometime this year. Okay. So anyways, I'm just going to read you some of the notes that I took from her warning. Okay, she said that she found this out from the World Economic Forum called Cyber COVID. And she says that millions will be taken offline. And when she said this, was the date of this video was October 6th of 2021. And then she said their excuse for taking everybody offline and shutting. So they're not like shutting the electricity off. They're shutting the internet off. Okay. And I can tell you that through the 5 years, those first, I'd say 3 years when the COVID was active, there were countries that actually locked down their internet to stop the misinformation. I reported on it, and maybe some of you here in the chat room, you know, can attest to hearing me report on that news that some of the countries had actually shut down their internet because they wanted to stop the misinformation flow. So what she's saying is that they're going to tell everybody that they had to take the internet down globally because of this attack that hit within 10 minutes. So it's going to be like a sudden shutdown, okay? And then she said that they would come back with a digital vaccine. So she says they're going to call it a cyber COVID, a COVID cyber. Okay. And then she said that by 2025, which is this year, there will be no more copper lines. Like I have my home phone is on a copper line. So I want to encourage you before I go any further that if you do not have a home phone, and you know that you have the copper lines are already installed into your location, get your phone cut back on. That's what I highly suggest. Because according to her, whenever this cyber attack happens, you're still going to be able to use your home phone if you have a copper line. That is going to be your only way to communicate out would be through a copper line if you have a home phone, or snail mail or shortwave radios, okay? And the people that live near you, because there will be lockdowns, on the transportation system. Now, I can tell you guys as a witness that as I have traveled this country for the last 5 years, I have reported to you, I have showed you on the interstates the infrastructure changes that are taking place for lockdowns. I showed you how they have, I've named all this stuff and don't know their real legal name, but this is just what I call it in the end time, the scenario. Okay, so I call these things Checkpoint Charlies. And these Checkpoint Charlies are, you know, these metal-looking signage holders that they have going across the interstate that has LED screens on there that talk to people, and they have Wazoo cameras and sensors on there and signage, okay? Now, what I've noticed is if you go back about 30 miles from the first intersection where they have the beast drones is where they begin about 30 miles inward, those Checkpoint Charlies. Now, when you drive up to an intersection, especially major intersections, they have installed what I call beast drones. And that's where they have these lighting fixtures that look like lights. And they have like 9 to 12 lamp bulbs on it. It's a circle design. And it has on the top a silver pod. Okay. Over the years, what we have discovered is that that silver pod, these things are drones. They'll literally come off the pole and fly. Okay. The on the top of it, on that silver dome, is where other drones will land on it to charge. Okay. In this infrastructure that they've done, you know, they've changed everything to this metal poles, you know, that is real wide so that they could have all of the fiber wires underneath that would go to the lamps. I know I'm getting very technical, but maybe I can make a video out of this afterwards, but to show you guys what I'm talking about. But the fiber lines that go up to the top of these lights, okay, these new LED lights have cameras in them. I've broken it down in news broadcasts about these LED lights because they have cameras, they have microphones, and they have sensors in them. And these cameras within them can move. So, like, if the police, let's say something happens on the interstate and the police need to zoom in on something, they have that capability now. Okay, now, backing up to where you're passing through the checkpoint, Charlie's, and you're driving up to the major intersection, those beast drones, the infrastructure on those things are in a circular pattern. And I just had this thought when I first saw it, that it was in a circular pattern, is that these with those silver pods are going to, on the top, are going to display a hologram of a UFO. That's what I like saw in the spirit. And it's where it's like the reflection of the light is going to reflect off those silver things and reflect a UFO. Now, if you've never seen a hologram that looks as real as if you can just reach out and touch them things, I've showed this on the news many times, especially over in Tokyo, where they have a big smart city, you know. But that's what I see on the intersections, is that they see what it is that I've noticed about infrastructure since I've been focusing in on it, is whenever you have huge amounts of population, okay, and let's say that, you know, this is an intersection where you have a shopping mall and you have all these restaurants and you have Walmart and Target and, you know, it's a major deal where people get off the interstate and they start spending money. Okay, most of them now actually have new infrastructure on the bridge in this crossover where they have the actual Checkpoint Charlie on the bridge, okay? And because there's going to be a lot of lockdowns and a lot of checkpoints, and that's what that's going to be. Also, they're designing these bridges in very weird fashions so that you won't be able to escape. So, like, they have one lane going this way, another lane going this way, another lane going this way, all going the same way. I've seen them, how they're doing this. So, also, the same way they're doing with roundabouts. They're putting in a lot of roundabouts where you pull up to an intersection, and then instead of just going straight, they have you ride around a circle to get to it. That's going to be another checkpoint place, okay? So, at these intersections where you have all of this heavily populated areas, you will see a bunch of beast towers. Beast towers are what I call these tall deals that have drums. They look like drums on there, but all they are is where they can actually shoot weapons. They're amplifiers. It's really, I sound so crazy, but this is what it is, people. It is what it is. I mean, 5G, I just showed on a video the other day, was actually for the military as a weapon. And it is to where it can shoot it at somebody, they can laser it in on somebody, and they can choke them. You know, they can just stop them right in their place. And they actually, I've actually showed you their infrastructure at the border. That's why I know them letting all them millions of people in the border is such a farce. Because I know a lot of the infrastructure that we have featured on the news down there at the border where they laser everybody. They've actually got the equipment in the back of the trucks. You know, like military style trucks where they can, they're like cannons, and they can aim the lighting structure, you know, this beam out there, and you know, they can hurt people, basically. I don't know how to explain it any other way than that, but that's what it is. And so going back to the infrastructure on the interstate, so you have the Checkpoint Charlies, you have the Beast drones, which are the circular pattern lights that are by interstates. And also, when you are going up to these interstate exchanges where they're all together, where there's a lot of population, you will notice walls that they're putting up. They're putting up walls where people will not be able to escape. So, in other words, in this climate lockdown, which, by the way, I was telling you about all these people that Trump's putting in right now, that is getting their miraculous approval rates. You know, the next one they're doing right now is RFK Jr. And what will he be doing? Climate deal. He is. If you could look at RFK Jr., just think climate change. That is this guy on a stick. He will be heavily in charge of this climate lockdown that's coming. Okay? All right. So I've told you about Checkpoint Charlies. I've told you about Beast drones. I've told you about, oh, I was telling you about the Beast towers. Okay. So, there's so much to tell you. So, the Beast Towers have the cell phone bars on there. Okay, so that gives you the signal for your cell phones. The 5G, and they're kind of long bars, but the 5G information is a little square box. Okay, and then it has the drums, which are the amplifiers of the signals. Okay. And then it has some radio little antennas up there and whatnot. So that's what those are used for. Okay. And then you have in this infrastructure, you have the new road system that is being repaved with internet, believe it or not. This is how, like in your white paint and then in the sides where it now has sensors where these cars will be able to drive, you know, unmanned cars, the driverless cars. So that's part of the infrastructure as well. And then, of course, sensors on the side of the interstate and these little, I thought it was really weird when I went to this one state. They had these poles on the side of the interstate that had like a, I don't know, I'd say it come up like 2 foot, say, and it had these metal circle on it. It's the only way I know how to describe it. But I researched and kind of found out there's sensors for these cars. So you'll see them on the side of the interstate. And let's see what else we have. Beast drones, Beast tower, Checkpoint Charlie. The interstate having the internet. Oh, the bridges now have cameras on the bridges. So the point is that in a climate lockdown scenario, there will be monitoring on major highways. So, you know, unless you have the whatever requirement that they're going to require in this global ID scenario, you're not going to be able to travel. Okay. One of the things that I saw Biden do right before he got out of office, and I read it to you guys, it was some type of chemical that they are going to be using in major places. And I believe it's for like the way that these doctors do when they spray that stuff. Y'all need to pay attention to that. If y'all ever go to the doctor, I know most of us will not go to doctors ever since this began. Because of what we know they're doing, you know, trying to get everybody jabbed or whatnot. And, but they're spraying this chemical, which they're saying is like a disinfectant, but it has those nanobots in it. So it's, you know, that's very troublesome as well. Okay. So let's go back to the warning of Deborah Tavares about the cyber COVID, the COVID cyber coming. Now, some new people just signed on to the chat today. I want to tell you this before I get back on this. In 2021, I had a dream, and the Lord told me that this beast system is going to tear down the sector of religion. So they're going to go after Christianity. And the reason they're going after Christianity is because of the founding of this country, the Christian founding. They're going to tear it up and make it Judeo. That is what the Judeo-Christian is. They're going to remove the Christian history, which is what America 250 is, that President Trump will be doing on July 4th of 2026, and what Elon will be doing between now and then, deregulating everything so that they can go forth with the care economy, where everything is run by robots and where they will take care of the elderly, because they will have cameras and sensors on these robots where they can check these elderly's mental health and make sure that they're obeying them to the T. And one of our elderly that we have in this room with us lives in an apartment down there at Tampa Bay. And she has been with us now for about 6 months on the prayer call. And we actually saw a miracle happen to her whenever the hurricane came right to her door. She had told us the night before the hurricane hit that she had taken some oil and went down to the front of the, she lives in one of those really nice assisted living places. And it's a big tower building right by the beach. And she went down to the doors and anointed the doors and prayed over the doors and prayed over her apartment. Do you know her building was the only one that didn't get flooded? Just a miracle from God. But anyway, and she was the first one to have lights. But she told us yesterday on the call something pretty troubling. And she said that they came to her door and gave her, the government did, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, and gave her a new cell phone, state-of-the-art cell phone with all the whistles on it, you know, the smartphone. And told her, you know, this is free. You don't have to pay for a thing. We just want you to have it to use it. And she was telling everybody, she goes, if it wasn't for Dr. June teaching me all this stuff, I would have been happy about it. But now everybody should know all of this stuff is for nothing but surveillance and monitoring. And that's what they want to do. They want to, it's called the care economy. That's why you see purple everywhere, because, you know, the luminescence that's being installed in people, you know, these purple lights will be able to show this kind of stuff, you know. Anyway, so let's go back to the warning I was trying to tell you about the cyber attack coming. So the Lord told me what they're going to do is they're going to expose everyone. So they're going to take your data and they're going to expose you to everybody to try to get you to fold, you know, especially the non-veers, to try to get you to fold and to discredit Christianity. They want to show the world what mockery of Christianity and a religion this is. I mean, just think about it. Okay. You have millions of people, and these are all Trump followers. I mean, just imagine how many people is going to, you know, be hating Christians by the time this is over with. Because every one of us have skeletons in our closet. So let's say all them skeletons come to light, you know, and everybody gets exposed, you know, and now all your neighbors know your dirty laundry. Or, you know, let's say you got saved 20 years ago, but you used to be a thief, a robber, and a whore, and everything else. You know, you had all this in your past, you know, but we know all that's been forgiven. But yet in this scenario, you know, it may be blasted out there like you're still like that today type of deal. But anyway, so the Lord gave me instructions in that dream to tell everybody when that day comes, what is our role in this? Because as a Christian, you have to be willing to die for him as well. You have to be willing to give Jesus your all like he gave you his all. And what do you mean by that? Well, you have to be willing to suffer your image for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because they want to make Jesus look like a joke. I mean, all of his people out here, look what all these people are doing. Look at all their sins. These people, and they're all telling you how it should be done. Look what all these people are facing, you know. And then they're going to come in with the solution. We're going to go back to Hebrew roots. We're going to go back to, you know, they're going to tell them that they're going back to Abraham, but it's a lie. You know, these people are taking them to the Talmud, and the Talmud absolutely hates Jesus. And it's Kabbalah on a stick, like that woman I showed last night where I interviewed back in 2021. Boy, she tore it up on that interview. See, I emailed her this morning. Back then, when I interviewed her in 2021, half that stuff she said it went right over my head. I had no idea what that woman was talking about back then. But now, you know, after 5 years of research, I knew what she's saying now. I get it now, you know. So, anyway, she explained, you know, how their tactic is to get everybody to leave the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is where the power is and all this. But anyway, so this beast system, the Noahide laws, they're going to come in with a solution to the problem of the bad founding of the country, the bad Christianity. And they're going to come in with a solution, which is the Noahide laws. That, you know, all of y'all can just, you know, go back to the beginning. We're going to start over. All you got to do is these seven laws, you know, and then you can be a righteous Noahide. But we're the ones that control whether you get in heaven or not, you know, type of deal. So that's what God showed me. Okay, so now forward to where we're at now. So this is 4 years later. Somebody sends me this email yesterday and says, you got to check out what she said about this COVID, cyber COVID coming. And then I looked it up and I was like, what? They're already talking about it. So this is like something that's going to happen probably this year. So I wanted to warn you about it. Okay, now, so they would be looking for a digital vaccine. Okay, so in other words, what we've said so far to catch all you new ones that called in, Deborah Tavares talked about this back in October 6th of 2021. And she said millions will be taken offline. They're going to tell everybody to keep everybody from disinfecting or infecting each other. That they would come back with a solution to the problem, which is a digital vaccine, which means everybody will have to go into Web 3.0 to get back online. Now, all of you guys that know about what I've been teaching you guys about Web 3.0 and how we cannot go in, we cannot do crypto, We cannot do any of this Luciferian economy. We cannot do the blockchain. We cannot do any of this stuff. So when they come back, that's going to be the solution. They're going to a decentralized network. The D, like we learned from that guy the other night, the decentralized network is where they're using the bodies, no more machines. So anyways, okay, so they would come back with a digital vaccine, a solution to the problem. So she says that the only way you'll be able to communicate through this time will be able to use your copper home phone lines to make sure y'all get a home phone. Data transfers will be blocked. They will lose trillions of dollars a day by being offline. I mean, this will be devastating to the economy, devastating. The whole world will be in a digital lockdown. You will only be able to contact people by people you live near, snail mail, home phone with copper lines, or shortwave radio. Now, she said back then, in 2021, that in 2025, there would be no more copper lines. Now, when I moved here 2.5 years ago in 2022, I told them I wanted a home phone. And they said, no, ma'am, we don't install copper lines anymore. And that was in 2022. And I barely got it in, man. I you know, threw a fit and I told them, no, you got the pipe to it right there. So I convinced them that they wouldn't have to do much work to bring it out in. It's right there in my driveway. So they did. Praise God, I have that. Okay. She talked about how they will be used in the weather as weapons, which we know they're doing that. And then she talked about the border control. You know, 7.1 billion people live in border control countries. And we know that's one of the biggest focuses of President Trump is that border. And then talking about us losing our water. Okay, so that's it for that. But I wanted to warn you guys real quick about the cyber attack. And then I wanted to tell you as well about what God told me when this to do when this happens. So when this happens and the grid goes down cyberly, okay, if you can picture, remember I told you guys about the picture of the spider and how the beast works with the internet. Let me explain it to you in case there's new people that don't understand it. Okay, data is like food. Okay, so you take a spider. The big part of the middle of the spider, the fat part, is the belly of the beast, basically. It's like the data holder, okay? The legs of the spider is how the fiber goes out, okay? You know how a spider weaves a web? That's why they call it the World Wide Web, because everything has a node, okay? So, like, let's call out a few nodes, okay? You have your telephone, you know, your cell phone, and then you have a computer. You have your appliances. You have people that took the jab. You know, video games, televisions, you know, all this stuff, LED lights, you know, they all have a node, okay? So they are like the legs of the spider. So it connects every node, okay? So let's say that in this scenario when they shut down the grid and they shut down the internet, think about all the things that are going to be shut down in this scenario. You know, the things that will be affected when there's no more communication systems globally. Think about what the jab does. The jab messes with the human's communication system. Now, one thing that I noticed, Endeavor's website, StopTheCrime.net, you know, I've always kind of avoided her stuff because it's so dark. I mean, she has a wealth of information. It's just so heavy. You know what I mean? And, but I was looking on there about something that was coming. Oh, okay. So she was talking about how, you know, the people that took the jab and stuff, and how this, it messes with their brain, you know, and their goal is to take people's memories, and how it messes with their brain, you know, and how they even think and the way they see things. And I got to thinking, you know, because we have all these people. Okay, there's two statistics out there. 70% took the jab at least one. Other statistic, 89%. Okay, so even if it's the lowest spectrum, even if it's just 70%, that's 70% of people in your area that have taken this thing. And because, you know, we look at this like, you know, the people that are non-veers, we look at this end time scenario like, how can these people not see? I mean, what the world? They're still pushing this thing. They're still pushing this vaccine. How can you not see what is happening out here, you know? And then you see the push for the AI. And you see the partnership between Trump and Elon, you know? And if you know anything about Elon and his family, you know this is not a healthy thing, you know, much less all of his partnerships with the beast as a whole, you know, meeting with Bill Gates. Let's go down that road. Remember, Bill Gates is the one that has the Microsoft 06 patent, which is 666. That is the whole foundation to this great reset. Okay, the man, Bill Gates, just met with President Trump. What did they discuss for 3 hours? The next pandemic. What do you think it's going to be? Probably a cyber pandemic. So how these people cannot see, you know, what's right in front of their eyes, you know, but maybe it's because they've been deprogrammed. They can't see. You know, they've been blinded to it. And it's really sad. So the next area I want to take you into, I'm going to play you guys a recording. Now, this recording is what I sent to all these pastors. I think it was about 26 or 27 pastors. And the Lord told me to do this, and I wrote them a letter. Okay, this was at Christmas time. I actually wrote it on Christmas Eve. You'll see in the letter. But I wrote this letter to these pastors that I was connected with across the country that I had served in all of my years of travel. Okay, the Lord told me, you know, a lot of these people I haven't seen in at least 10 years. So he was telling me, you know, contact all them pastors and warn them about President Trump one last time. So I just received a letter yesterday, from one of those pastors, and I'm going to read it to you. Okay, so here's the letter that I wrote to pastors from the bottom of my heart. Here we go. To honorable pastors, written December 24th, 2024, from Decaturville, Tennessee. Hello, this is June Knight. I got married about 2.5 years ago, and now my last name is Weir. I'm very happy living on a farm in Decaturville, Tennessee, with 3 goats, 30 chickens, 2 dogs, and a wonderful godly man who is the pastor of our church. The Lord gave me a dream and told me to write you pastors and tell you the truth about what I know is coming to the church in 2025 and beyond. I know this will be hard for many of you to believe because it is so contrary to the circles of influence and the mainstream media, to your circle of influence and the mainstream media. However, I must warn you of what is about to hit your home and churches. Please read with an open heart and do your own research to at least consider what I'm saying so that you can be spared in the coming days. This is life and death. This is the one world order and the one world religion merging. As many of you know, I began traveling the country in 2013 and serving you pastors and teaching you about media, live streaming, creating websites, etc. The Lord told me, you take care of my people, and they will take care of you. I'm hiring you. I'm your boss. Of course, this was after I graduated with my master's degree in corporate communications. I also studied in London under the top three global firms. The Lord trained me to help you guys and to learn from you. I really appreciate all I've learned from you about ministry and the Lord. From 2013 to 2016, I served ministries all over this country. President Trump came to Nashville in 2016 on his tour, and I filmed him in the press corps box. I did not know that in a couple of years I would be working as a White House correspondent in Washington, D.C. In 2017, we fasted for 40 days for President Trump. This was January 1st to February 10th. My mother died in between. She was so happy to know that we had a Christian president, and she died 2 days later after his inauguration. Then, after the 40 days, I rested 2 weeks before the Lord gave me four dreams and four nights to give me the assignment of the 2017 Mega Revival Tour, Make America Godly Again. I left a couple of weeks later with $20 in a car with 260,000 miles on it and a ride knocking. God did miracles on that six-month tour. I met many of you while I was on the road. I drove across the entire border of this country. I held four revivals on the north, south, east, and west. Following the tour, I did a national Christian march in September of 2017 to declare that we was a Christian nation. I learned a lot about how sick the church was on that tour. I began exposing this sickness, and it led to another 40-day fast, tearing down the idols in the country and church in January of 2018. It was an amazing feat, and this ended up being a book called The American Idols. Then I went to D.C. again to do proclamations and began writing, which turned into four books called The American Quad. This was about what I was learning across the country and what the Lord was showing me in the Spirit. I did not print them because God told me to go in the prayer closet. I shut the ministries down for 8 weeks and listened to God. It was at this time that God called me to go to Washington, D.C. I finally left a couple of months later with $9 in a suitcase. I left my house and had no car. When I rode on a Greyhound bus and sat on a bench when I arrived and prayed, "What do you want me to do now, God?" Since that time, He did miracles. I've written a book about it called From the Pit to the Palace. When I arrived there, the main prayer team of the nation heard about what I had done across this country and opened the doors wide to me. Thanks as well to Pastor Carolyn Sism for her recommendation as well at that time. She was my mentor and they knew her. She confirmed who I was. Anyway, they made me the captain over the U.S. Capitol prayer, and I prayed for it for 3 months. God showed me much. And God told me before I went that I was going to the belly of the beast, that is, the belly of perversion. Then God sent me to the mouth of the beast, the White House. I then became the captain of it. I prayed every day there. This is where my life changed. God showed me the truth of what is going on about President Trump and the Beast Agenda. I began to see his loyalty to the LGBT community and all the things he would do like that in which I knew God would not endorse. Anyway, God began to show me that he is not what the church is being presented. Since then, God pulled me out of D.C. after I went to the United Nations with him in 2019. God pulled me out in December of 2019. This was right before the Great Reset Agenda began in January of 2020. God pulled me out right before the COVID. Yes, I say it like it is. COVID. It is an ID system. It is part one of the three-part global ID. When Trump comes back in, he will finish what he began with Operation Warp Speed and do part two and three with Elon Musk. This is why he's bringing in all the globalists to work on his new cabinet. Haven't you wondered why big tech and all the fintech guys are now bowing? It's because it was all a show to begin with to bring in the One World Order. So since I left the White House, I've written about 15 books about all this. I finished the American Quad 4 in 2020. Then in 2022, I wrote 8 more books, Cryptocurrency and Why the Church Cannot Participate, Beast Babel, How the Beast Communicates, Image of the Beast, What is the Image, One World Order, The Circular Economy, Noahide Laws, The Persecution of the Church That's Coming in 2025, NAR, New Apostolic Reformation, The Church is Partnering with the Beast, Freedom Forest, The Deceivers Working with the Beast, Metaverse, The Ark of the Beast. Then in 2024, I released 3 more books, From the Pit to the Palace, about my journey from 2013 to 2017, The Chosen One, about 2017 to now, and DC Mission, pictures from my trip there. So, as you can see, I have documented what I've discovered through writing and thousands of news shows. So please heed the warning I'm about to give on what is coming. So the following is the warning for the church of 2025. First, let me explain what is the COVID shot. It is an app that is part one to the ID system for the beast. It is RFID technology that relays the person's information and diagnostics back to the beast system. It was labeled the software of life on Moderna's website, and then I provide you a link. It is the app they need to report back to them. This is why they did drive-by shots. They don't need your information to receive it, because then they have you. They do this by CRISPR technology. They cut out the coding in the DNA of the human and insert their own coding, and I provide the link. I will have all of this on my website, so you can click on the links from there. And I provide you a link to my website. This is why many people believe this is the mark of the beast, because they remove the coding from God, his name is written in our DNA coding, and insert Lucifer's code. And there's actually a patent for it called Microsoft Patent 060606. The patent is actually called Cryptocurrency System Using Body Activity Data. The patent is W02020606061. Human body activity associated with a task provided to a user may be used in a mining process of a cryptocurrency system. This new app is still being pushed on people today, COVID. You have to ask yourself why. Even Congress said in its recent report that it did not do any good. Looky here, and I give the website oversight.house.gov the final report of COVID, a 2-year investigation. Yes, the very thing that President Trump started and pushed in 2020 did not do a lick of good except mark every human. Every jab contains an EID number. This is a Bluetooth number that is a patent number. That means they own you now. This goes back to the theory of the MOTB, because now Jesus does not own you anymore. His breath made up the DNA coding. Notice they cannot duplicate blood. This is why. It has God's system in there. It's the book of life of each human. It is a computer board within us with God's coding system and documents everything we do and say. When we allow CRISPR technology to remove that code and insert another code that is now attached to the Internet of Everything and makes you a node, you are no longer a part of the Book of God. The person becomes transhuman. They are part iron and clay. They have been bought with another price, this new ID system for the beast. Now, Trump brought this in. If it was not for him, 70% of the church would not have taken it. They have been duped. Now, he's bringing in the very man to bring in the rest of it, Elon Musk. He is doing the Everything app. This app is modeled after China. This will be the global ID that will contain part 2 and 3. Global ID, number 1, the COVID jab, the motherboard app for surveillance and monitoring. Number 2, carbon credit score, cryptocurrency and slavery service. 3, social credit score, slavery to Lucifer due to having to please man. I don't have time to explain everything I know because my beautiful husband is waiting on me to start Christmas dinner. However, I wanted to give you enough to do research and find out what I'm telling you. You are all in danger. Here's what I know they're doing in 2025. Trump bowed out of the 2020 election after he brought in Operation Warp Speed, president of the United Nations G7 committee to bring in 5G across the world, which is the power to the beast, formed the 1776 Commission to redesign the U.S. Constitution in September 2019, and handed it to Biden in 2021 so that he could then hand it to DeSantis and rewrite the educational materials to be released in the new order of country in 2016, it should say 2026, for the Noahide laws, etc. That's a mistype there. He bowed out so that Biden could work with the Trump Republicans. America First, which is Build Back Better in a red dress, Democrat vomit. And they could do a bipartisan takeover of the country for the United Nations. They worked together to pass laws under Biden's name so that he looked like the bad boy. But know this, if it was not for President Trump, he could not have mowed it down like he did. In other words, they gutted the country from the inside out. Then Trump is coming back in with his dream team in 2025 to begin the new order with the complete loyalty and devotion of the church and mow it down for the first 100 days. They have been working on this for the past 4 years. He is going to execute the following in his new presidency: drug dealers, child molesters, anti-Semites, and more. Anti-Semites is you. If you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, then you are an anti-Semite. If you believe that Jesus is God, they are lying to the church about anti-Semitism. Look at the official legal definition according to the Holocaust Museum. And then I provide a link to the official definition. If you believe that the Jews killed Jesus like the Bible says, then you are. This is all in preface for the Noahide laws. The Noahide laws are from the Orthodox Jews who are working with President Trump. They are not biblical. They are lying when they say they are. They are not. They are from the Talmud, which hates Jesus. This is a Kabbalistic religion and New Age in origin. I wrote a book about the Noahide laws and what they are. Basically, it works alongside with NAR, which has taken the church back to Hebrew roots and hung Jesus on the cross all over again. They did away with the true meaning of Christianity. They led the church to the slaughter. These Noahide laws will decapitate the Christians for idolatry and blasphemy for how we see Jesus. Many Christians are turning now to become Noahides because they believe that they are honoring Israel. But really, they're going to a death sentence. It's horrible. Trump is bringing in the Noahide laws, which is why you see the cabinet he has surrounding him. Vivek, I call him the double V. He is the pharmacy guru. He owns a pharmacy company that works with the V. His company is the transportation device that delivers the payload, yes. This guy is now working with Elon, whose mother is the highest witch in the world, and she brags about it. Elon wears a Baphomet outfit on his Twitter, now X, profile picture. He hired a witch publicly as his vice president. These people around Trump are not good. Turning Point USA formed a group called TPUSA Faith. This faith group will be traveling the country in 2025 and beyond, going to every city and town to find out who is not for Trump. Yes, Trump is sending out his henchmen. According to Lance Wallnau, they should shame the non-participants in this new world, one world religion on their website. Yes, this group is the one world religion. They want every church to sign an agreement to this new doctrine. Do not sign it. This is a warning. They call it biblical historical Christianity, but it is nothing but Noahide laws. They want to identify who is for Trump and who is not. Same with Steve Bannon and his team. They are going after the anti-Trump media. It's a revenge campaign, of which you know God would not endorse at all. For a year and a half, Elon Musk is going to be deregulating our government and changing all of the departments around for the One World Order. It is working with the United Nations. Don't let them lie to you. The United Nations is having every country do this. They are gutting them from the inside out, deregulating everything so they can bring in the Fourth Industrial Revolution. This revolution is the robots, automatic cars, AI global governance, circular economy, and the new evil empire, the Internet of Everything. While Elon is doing this, they will keep the world distracted. While natural disasters are going on, or so they say that they're natural. So they can steal the land and use it for mining, for batteries, crypto, supercomputers, etc. In May of 2025, Trump is beginning America 250. This is a project where they will require all cities to do over-the-top patriotism acts for a year solid. This is like Hitler. It's only for a distraction and to make people think we are still a country. We are not. It left in January of 2020. The official paperwork was signed, however, in September 22nd, 24 at the Pact for the Future United Nations. The Great Reset is what you're looking at. COVID and transforming countries into their image now. Out of God's image into their new globalist agenda. Then, after Musk is through, in June of 2026, they are throwing a big shindig on July 4, 2026, to show the world the new Judeo-Christian world, the Noahide law-controlled world. This global unity you're looking at is by them. They are setting up global courts called Noahide courts. The court that Netanyahu set up in Israel is like this. They are high-level Sanhedrin courts. This will be to try the non-compliers and Noahides if they don't comply. Well, I've written enough to hopefully cause you to research what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you what I've learned over the past 7 years, and I do not want to bog you down. It is a lot, but God told me to warn you of this. President Trump is not for you. When he reads the snake poem, he's talking about you and him. He will be like Hitler, the snake eating the tail. It will come back to bite you. He's not working for you. He is lying to you. This is why he said, come on, Christians, vote for me just one last time, and you won't have to vote again. Well, why do you think he said that? The Noahide laws are coming in and will cause many Christians to be martyred. If you take the V, you will be like cattle and be in slavery to the beast. You must renounce it and repent to God for partnering with the beast's agenda and not trusting God. Trust in Jesus and do not partner with the cryptocurrency or the currency of the beast. This is crypt, meaning death. We cannot go into Web3. Do not go into Web 3.0, cryptocurrency, decentralized internet, etc. Be ready to die for Jesus' name. If you do not take the COVID, you will not be able to enter into the new global system. No buying or selling. So be ready to give your life to not take their coding system or new app. If you have any questions, email me at mamajune@goem.us or call 731-733-0532. I'm writing this with a full blessing from my husband. I do love you all. Dr. June Knight Weir, CC, Pastor Dennis Weir. All right. I know it was long, but I wrote them my heart, and I've only received two pieces of response so far, and one of them is an email from a lady who is not one of the people I sent it to, but I want you to hear what she said. She said, I have been forwarding your blog to those in and out of ministry. It is being read and forwarded. The fast push for Stargate stuff is pure evil. We are praying for you guys. And then I wrote her back and said, thank you, because I haven't heard a word from anybody yet. And she said, you speak from experience. No, she goes, you were there, so you know firsthand. You speak from experience and by authority. I will keep forwarding what you wrote and write because it is so timely. People need to wake up and stay alert. Everyone is grateful to know what you wrote. Christians and non-believers are being so deceived. The deception is rampant worldwide. My brother-in-law is a pastor. He and my sister and their three children and spouses are grateful. They all have a fairly large base of influence, so the word will spread. The others will forward it too. There is a small group of us who are staying vigilant and who do want to know the truth. We have to remember that only 8 people went into the ark. So thank you again for sharing what God has for you to share and being faithful. There is a great falling away of the church, as you already know. Okay, now. Yesterday, I went to the post office and got a letter that really hurt me real bad, because this woman is the first pastor to write me back, and she is who I love the most out of all the ministers out there, and I'm going to read it to you this morning. And I do want to say, because that somebody probably sent it to her, is that I do appreciate her writing me back. You know, no matter how all these people feel, you know, they're all real people with real churches, with real, you know, congregations that follow them. And there's millions of people at stake in this thing, you know. So I know that when people first listen to what I write, it's hard to hear, you know, just like Stephen when he was martyred. You know, he did the same thing. He told exactly what was happening. They couldn't stand it, and they killed him. Because it hurts the ear. Gayla says, I've read the letter 3 times. Wow. Yes, I do have this up on the website. It is up on the website. Okay, so this pastor that wrote me back is the biggest one of them all. You know, not that anybody's better or bigger than anybody else, but if you could measure, like, the people she's connected to, where she's at in the kingdom, you know. In other words, she's a gatekeeper. So if I heard back from any of them, I'd want to hear back from her. Okay. She's the one out of all of them that I respected the most. That I served her for 3 years, you know. I would have died for her, but NAR, you know, they came after me to her, and they made her choose between me and her. Me and them. It was really sad. But anyway, so I haven't seen her in over 5 years. Okay, so she said, Dear June, I received your letter. I have been expecting to hear from you, as the Lord spoke to me recently that we would be hearing from you again. As you know, I appreciated the anointing and miraculous favor on your life to be able to open doors and walk in your media anointing and calling. However, when you turned against President Trump, I could no longer walk with you going forward. The turn appears to me to be radical. Now, the reason that radical means something to me is because she asked me to speak at one of her conferences, which was a big deal. I mean, you know, it was huge. And I got up there to speak, and she told everybody, she goes, I just want y'all to know that I am so proud of this woman. I've never met anybody like her that is so radical, that goes out there and does anything God tells them to do. And she said, I can't do that because I'm too responsible. You know, and I was like, wow, you know, are you saying I'm not responsible? But I tried not to be offended, you know. But anyway, so when she said here, she's letting me know you're just too radical, you know, so that kind of stabbed me a little bit. But I read over your letter, not studied it, as would be required to go into any discussion about the views expressed. So that let me know she don't want to hear from me again. You know, she don't want to discuss it. She didn't research it. She don't care. You know, type of deal. I, of course, have heard from the Lord, she puts in caps, in part about many of the subjects you raise. The purpose of my writing you is to state my position and view at this time with the grace the Lord has given me. I am persuaded that in 2024, the church in the United States rose up and took the authority given to us to decree God's will and purpose over this nation. Because she is of the belief, you know, that we take dominion and authority, which I am. You know, this is a dominionist doctrine of NAR. I do believe that with all of my being, that we do have authority. But the difference is, I don't believe we can go against God's will. I have authority, like God told me to go to Washington. Okay, here's one. God tells me to go to North Carolina and serve this evangelist. I'm in a car with a rod. I mean, not the rod knocking, but in a car that's going like this, about to die. I'm driving through Nashville, and this, and the woman I'm serving is on the phone mocking me. I told you that car wouldn't make it up there, you know. To me, it was like the devil mocking me, you know. So I get off the phone with her, and I bang my fist on that dash, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you will take me to North Carolina. God called me to North Carolina, and you're the car that I've got, so you will get me there. You have to obey God like I have to obey God. And that's what I told you. See, I took authority and dominion, right? Bam! That car straightened up. Yes, it did. All the check engine lights went off, and that car drove me there like a Cadillac. And I did the whole mission in North Carolina. I was there for 3 weeks and come back to Nashville, and then the car went back broke again. That's my point. If I'm on a mission from God, I do have all authority because God called me as an ambassador to do that. So thus, I have the authority. For instance, God calls me to Washington, D.C. I'm up there with these global devils, okay? But God called me there. So while I'm there in the mission of God, I have the authority of God. But if God wrote the Bible and says, this is going to be the end of days, this is going to be tribulation time, the Antichrist is coming, judgment is coming, you know, yada, yada. We, as a church, cannot override that. You know, we can't override the whole world and stop God's judgment. I don't believe that. I believe we can talk to God about it. I believe we can plead to God about it. But I don't believe we can go against his word. And this is where the difference is about the dominionism. You know, because to me, all of them were exposed in COVID. Because if you really believe this doctrine that you have all this authority, why didn't you shut COVID down? I mean, seriously. You know, so I don't believe that. Why? Because COVID was judgment, which pushed us into tribulation time. So no, I don't believe. See what I mean? But if God has called me to something, then I am his tool that he's using, you know, and thus I do have authority. And all the matter works with me to accomplish the will of God. Do y'all hear what I mean? So let's continue here. Okay. But she is saying that she's persuaded that through the election, that they all fought for that, they all declared it, and thus the election happened the way the church wanted it to happen. And I see it differently. I see it that the beast is on the throne. That's the way I feel about it. So then she says, men and women of faith through obedience have, and then she gives a scripture, Hebrews 11, 33 and 34. Now, if everybody would turn in their Bible, let me get my Bible because I don't know what version she's using because it looks weird to me. Let's see, Hebrews 11, okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Thessalonians, Timothy. Where are we looking for? Hebrews. All right, here we go here. Hebrews 11, I'm here. Verse 33. All right, she says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Okay, I see here. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, waxed valiantly to fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Oh, she's right then. Okay. The armies of the aliens. So she is saying we have the authority. Through faith, subdued kingdoms. worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, waxed. Now, I do believe that. This is what I mean about dominion. I do believe that. But I don't believe we can stop the Antichrist. I don't believe we can stop God. And I know, I'm going to tell you guys as an official record of when God called me to Washington, D.C. in 2018, I got off that bus with $9 in a suitcase. Remember, the suitcase had 75 pounds worth of everything I had in one suitcase. And God, you know, put me up very nicely in these nice hotels, you know, in the beginning when I was there. The LGBT was at the National Mall threatening President Trump, of which I thought I was his prophet. God had sent me to be his guard, and I was going to fight that devil and slay them devils for him, you know. And so when I got there, God had me praying at the White House every day. Boy, I was praying around the White House. I was praying over the president, and I felt like I was going to war for the man. Well, why was I telling you this? Something. I completely lost my thought. It left me. Oh, okay. So the LGBT was at the National Mall. And I had been there a couple of weeks when they did this. But they threatened President Trump and they threatened the Republican Party globally. They said, you listen here, you Republicans and President Trump. If you don't bow to our LGBT agenda, then we're not going to vote with you in 2020. We'll do it for 2018, but we ain't going to do it in 2020. Boy, that made me so mad. Because, you know, I'm sitting there thinking as Trump's guard. I'm sitting there thinking, who are you, yo Philistine, coming against my president? I'm about to shred you. You know what I'm saying? So the Lord gave me a dream. And he said, I want you to go to the White House. Now, picture this, because the miraculous door had opened for me to be a White House correspondent. I mean, I had no idea when I went up there that I was going to be in there. You know, I thought I was just going up there to pray. You know, I had no idea about any of that. But I just got accepted in whenever the Lord told me to put it all on the line and stand up there in front of the White House with a megaphone and proclaim to everybody this word that the Lord had gave me. And the word was this in short, is that we are and was a Christian nation. You know, I did that National Christian March in 2017 where we walked around the entire, you know, the mall and stuff doing our march, and we declared, we are a Christian nation. We are a Christian nation. You know, God had me wave that banner till the bitter end, you know. And so the Lord told me to say, okay, you Republicans and President Trump, listen here. Hear ye from the Lord. If you bow to that perverted, foul devil that is screaming from the halls of the National Mall, and they're telling you that if you don't bow down to this perverted, foul devil, that they're not going to vote for you in 2020. So thus saith the Lord, if you do that, there will be no more time. Time will be done. That's what God said. I said it in front of 400 people and live in front of the Secret Service, of which a guy that I guess was a homosexual got so mad that he came over there to try to punch me in the face. Right there in front of the White House, but the Secret Service stopped him. And then he stood there and screamed at me the entire time. And somebody snapped a picture. And afterwards, I was like, whoa, because he was standing, I don't know how many feet away from me, but God had shined his, the sun had, it was like God took a spotlight and shined it right on that man's head. Like, I see what you're doing to my woman. you know, type of deal. I was like, whoa, that is pretty crazy. But anyway, so I prophesied this totally on the Trump train and totally believing that they would not do it. I contacted Trump's team, his faith team, you know, that surround him. I'm like, what do you guys say? What say you about Trump, you know, partnering with LGBT? So what happened was about 6 months later, here it comes. H.R. 5, which was the biggest, egregious LGBT bill that would just kill the church, was coming through Congress. So it came through the House. Well, the House passed it. You know, it's Nancy Pelosi, of course, and they passed this thing. Well, the week that it passed, I was walking by the United Methodist headquarters, which was right next to the Supreme Court and has this triangle point that points right to the Capitol, and it has all this Masonic symbolism. The United Methodist Church is just Masonic to the bone. But anyway, so I was walking by it as I was doing my normal DC reporting stuff, and they were having a meeting, and there was a bunch of ministers there from different denominations, and they were saying, ministers support, no, pastors support H.R. 5. Y'all know that stopped me dead in my tracks. I'm like, what is this? You know, so I go over there and I'm like, I'm a White House correspondent and I would like to interview whoever's in charge of this event. Oh, okay, yes, we'll be right back. So they run and get the people and they come back, and this man, he's so proud of what they're doing, you know, and he's like, oh, you know, all of us ministers have come together in unity, and, you know, we really support this bill, and, you know, there should be love and tolerance and yada yada. And so I was praying under my tongue to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit led me on that whole entire mission in Washington, D.C. Remember when I told y'all CNN tried to trap me? When I went into the White House, the Lord told me, said, you keep your mouth shut for 4 months when you go in there. I went in there 4 months. I obeyed the Lord and I kept my mouth shut. Well, CNN couldn't stand it. So I guess I've been in there a month, and they come over there and they said, they was walking towards me. It was about five of them. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, it's a trap. Be very generic. I was like, okay. So here they come. Hi, what's your name? What's your education? Where are you from? Who do you work for? You know, asking all this, you know. So the Holy Spirit was my best friend. So I'm sitting there with all these LGBT supporters and I'm like, help me, Holy Spirit. What kind of question do I ask? What do I ask? So when it come time for me to talk, I said, sir, I just have one question. I said, now, you know that in the Bible, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it talks about God's position on homosexuality. So can you explain to Christians out there, because we're a Christian network, can you explain to the Christians, you know, how can you go against God? I mean, to these people, it makes no sense. His face turned every shade of red. Oh, he was so mad. And he goes, I just feel like God is love. I just feel like he's love. Excuse me, I got to go. Walked off, you know. But anyways, the point is, zilch from Trump and zilch from his people, the church people, you know, the group that surrounded him. And so I texted him and I said, because I used to see him all the time in Trump Towers, because that's where everybody that was Republican went. That was the place to be in D.C. Okay, so I would have to go there all the time to find out stuff. So I went there, you know, and I got to talk to a lot of people and, you know, meet a lot of people and whatnot. So I got their phone number. So I text them. I'm like, hey, I would like an official position of your team. What are you advising President Trump of concerning LGBT? I said, the church wants to know, do we have a voice to the President of the United States, people? You know, and crickets, they would not give me the time of day. So here's President Trump. This was, you know, of course, the week of. The day that it came to pass was on a Friday. President Trump goes on Fox News, which is propaganda television. Don't ever believe a word they say. Because I get the same information they do, okay? And I see how they twist it. So I'm just telling you, heed the warning or not. But he went on Fox News and he said, I'm supportive of gay marriage. I just am not really a fond of the current language of this document. Yes. So there he was. I was like, oh, no way. So ever since then, President Trump went downhill. He made his choice. And it's been that way ever since. The other day, there he was in California with, you know, his number one person on the his cabinet is gay. And he's sitting there next to him, you know, from the log cabin Republicans. But anywho, let's go back to the letter. So we just read the letter, you know, we're Hebrews 11. Then she says, I have no delusion about the political traps and snares set for the Trump administration going forward. Can you believe that? She believes that all this stuff that is happening to President Trump is traps that are being set against him. Like he is so oblivious to all of this stuff that is happening. You know, it's just so sad. I do know, and for me, it is a fact, the responsibility for the mission and destiny of the United States is in the power of Jesus Christ and the obedience of his ecclesia to pray, decree, and subdue kingdoms, work righteousness, and obtain promises, and stop the mouth of lions. I believe President Donald J. Trump is anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ to be the ruler of our nation at this time. But that ruler anointing is also international. Can you believe that? She sees that he is going to be a global leader, which, in my interpretation, is the Antichrist. Without dispute, whoever rules over the United States has a powerful international voice. True. Now, I do want to declare this. I do believe that God sets kings and puts them down. So, yes, I do believe that it is God's will that he be in there. I am not doubting that. But I also believe that it is judgment to us for wanting a king over God. I just read in the Word this morning that if y'all will give me grace, I will release the Word that God gave me. And I really apologize for this because it is the Wednesday deal. If y'all will have grace towards me, we can do this Wednesday deal tomorrow where y'all can give what you have tomorrow, please. I'm sorry. Now, going back to the letter here. To the overthrow of the Obama-Biden-Harris administration has pushed back the bands of the Antichrist to overrule our nation. Can you believe that? She believes that Trump coming in is the savior of the nation, that it overthrows all of the evil agenda from Obama. You know, in other words, she has the understanding that Democrats are evil. She doesn't understand that they're all working together, basically is what this is. Which, like I said, you know, when I wrote that letter to all these guys, that this will be hard for you to understand because you're believing what you're believing according to your circle of influence. So if you believe Fox News, if you believe these NAR leaders, you know, yada yada. Okay, so the responsibility for this overthrow lies in the authority of the church, Ecclesia. The responsibility of the ruling and reigning over this nation going forward also lies in the authority and power given to the church. Now, you know, this goes back to what the beast is trying to paint, this picture of white nationalism, you know, where they're trying to say, you know, that the church wants to make, you know, this NAR group wants to make everything Christian. Okay, so let me give my opinion on that, if you could have grace towards me to do so, is this. I do believe that, you know, the Christians are to have a voice in their government. I do believe this. When we was a country, 2019 and back, after that, the country gone. It's gone. It left in 2020. All countries did, actually, in the Great Reset. It is no longer what it ever was, and it never will be again. Okay? So, in the old world, I do believe that we should have been, you know, running for Congress, and we should have been, you know, trying to, you know, fight for Christian values. But see, the problem is that I've noticed is trying to get everybody to agree on doctrine is almost impossible. So this is why they're doing everything ecumenical and they're leaving out doctrine. Because doctrine divides, you know, because you have some people that believe you speak in tongues, some people believe you don't. Some people believe in the Sabbath on Saturday, some people believe it's on Sunday. You know, is there so much doctrinal differences according to the understanding that you have of the word, right? So trying to get everybody to come together and fight for a cause or to do something together in the name of unity is almost impossible in Christianity. I mean, it's so hard unless you just drop all doctrine. And this is what they're doing in the name of social justice, which is a stench in God's nostrils. Because in 2018, when we did a 40-day fast, God had me tackle the idols that were in the nation and in the church. And that was one of them, called social justice. Because you will see these evangelicals part with Buddhism, part with, you know, Islam and Judaism and Hinduism and, you know, witchcraft, all these other religions in the name of pro-life. That is a stench in God's nostrils, because you are coming up with a humanistic solution to the problem. It all leaves God out. The solution is the Lord. The solution is the nation needs to repent. And see, that's another reason that repentance is so hard in this nation, because of doctrine. For instance, you have the ecumenical people who are the Judeo-Christian, who are the ones partnering with Trump, who are the Zionists. This is under Kabbalah King Jonathan Cahn at the National Mall in September of 2020. I went there, me and my son, when he did a global repentance where they acted like they was trying to repent to for the nation, which I told them, some people that was on their team, I said, no way. They're not going to get up there and repent the right way, because if so, they'd have to confront Trump, because God is not going to partner with perversion. You cannot stand up there in front of the White House, in front of the National Mall, and say that you're going to repent for our nation's sins and not address perversion. You tell me any story in the Old Testament where all these kings got up there and become kings and God did not make them address the idols in the land. I mean, seriously, what God are you serving here? But that's what they did in the return. They just had the Christians repent and had the rabbis stand up there with their Kabbalah hands, speaking all them curses over them. That's all that was. It was not a global repentance of the perversion in the land and the stuff that was the stench in God's nostrils. Because if you did the repentance right, which I tried to do in that national event, okay, in the march I did the first one, I tried to do a global repentance, but the next march I did up there was Evangelicals for Trump. Can you believe that one? In 2019 for his 2020 campaign. But I told everybody that come to that rally, I said, listen, this is not so much Trump as it is us declaring this is a Christian nation. We are going to walk around here and declare this is a Christian nation. You know, and who would have known just a few years, that was the last, you know, Mohican before everything collapsed. That was in September, you know, and then everything collapsed in January. But anyway, y'all get the point that I'm trying to say. We cannot have repentance because it says you have to turn from your wicked ways. God is holy. See, this is where you have to know who is the real Jesus here. Because these people, this NAR, all these people around Trump, all the ones that have huge YouTube channels and have all these conferences and get all these open doors in the White House and everything and in the Congress, and they get to do all these scenes in there and all that, these people are sold out. When they do their stuff, it is this ecumenical New Age Jesus. This is not the right God because God does not partner with perversion. Okay, so going back to her letter, she goes, the responsibility for this overthrow lies in the authority of the church, the ecclesia. The responsibility of the ruling and reigning over this nation going forward also lies in the authority and power given to the church. See, her definition of power given to the church is different than mine because my definition is we speak truth to power, people. I mean, we stand up for righteousness. We call it for what it is. Remember, it was July of 2023 when me and Leah went back down to the thing and I did another rally. This one was not a march, but this one was a speech. We did a speech there in front of the White House. And the Lord told me, he gave me a dream and said, I want you to go there and I want you to talk about what happened between after Stephen died until now. Because Stephen, which was the first martyr, okay, he addressed what happened from the beginning of time till the end. And this is where Jesus come in. So all the people there couldn't stand what he said and they killed him. So the Lord gave me a dream and said, I want you to address what happened from Stephen till now. And I said, oh my God, am I going to be the first martyr? You know, because I took it very serious what God was saying. I had to go there and address Paul. Well, that's what the Noahide laws are going to do. They hate Paul. So I had to go there and I did it. And I stood up there and I said, I'm going to address Paul. You know, Paul's writings are true. And Paul says, you know, that we have to believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You know, we are the modern day Israel. We are the church here, you know. And so anyways, I still, you know, went up there and obeyed the Lord and I did that. And anyway, so let's go back here. So point number one, she says. As for Elon Musk, it is the church's responsibility to pray for him to be radically saved. He is a good man with good intentions, but we must pray that all the power giftings in his life be used for the Lord's kingdom purposes. That, too, is the responsibility of the church. Now, one thing I know, Becky, one thing I can say is this right here. this woman is a woman of prayer. She loves to pray. She truly believes in taking dominion and authority. You know, when she has her conferences, she has them, you know, declare their authority and whatnot. So, you know, I'm not even going to address this really because all of you, you know whatever. Okay, now, number two, her second point. And welcome to all the new people that are calling in. I don't know you guys, but I welcome you here. We are talking about the letter that I wrote to these pastors. I think it's about 27 of them across the country. And I got my first letter in response yesterday, and this is the letter that I'm reading, and it made me very sad. It's a woman I love very much. Okay, so number two, her point. Concerning cryptocurrency, I am of the persuasion any currency that is not backed by gold, silver, oil, food commodities, or land is of no value. So that's all she said about cryptocurrency. Nothing about the jab, you know, or anything that I brought up about Microsoft 666 patent, all that stuff. Number three, concerning COVID. That was a coup within the executive branch to bring Trump down. Can y'all believe that one? She does not believe that Trump had anything to do with the COVID. Is that not the saddest, saddest thing? When I read that, I was so hurt over that. So sad that somebody would believe this. Believe that it was a coup. And the thing is, I don't believe it was the coup. I covered that thing every day when I lived in Georgia. When it first started, I was living in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay? And I was living with my son, and he had a farm down there. And because they just had a baby, you know, I had to talk to the bride outside with the cows. And that that show blew up. It became viral. It was pretty cool. But I followed him, everything he did, every day. And I would take the White House documents that I got and I would read them. I would scan them every day and then I would read them. Do y'all remember this? So I do not believe that there was a coup. I'm just telling you guys publicly, whoever's listening. I do not believe, first of all, I want everybody to know this about President Trump. He is the most powerful man I've ever stood in front of in my life, okay? His power on his life, his energy, sucks the energy out of everybody else in that room when he enters the room. This man is like a robot because one time I was standing in front of him, in the press corps, right in front of his office, actually, right there by the Rose Garden. Really, it's so pretty there. I loved working at the White House. I loved it. But anyway, and so he walked up to me, and, you know, this is when I was first in the press corps, and I was the low man on the totem pole, so I had to be in the back, you know, by his helicopter. I couldn't get close to him. But you know, over time, I was able to get a little closer. So one time, I was standing right in front of him. And I had my hand raised, Mr. President! Mr. President! You know, and he was looking at me all funny and everything, because everybody else. No, I was saying, sir, sir. You know, that's what we do in the South, you know, sir, yes, ma'am, whatever. And so then I saw how everybody was addressing him. So then I was like, Mr. President, Mr. President. So he looked at me. And his eyeball, it's hard to explain, but it scanned me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. and he wouldn't let me ask that question. Of course, I had one that was about Christians. It was some issue he was dealing with, you know, that had to do with Christianity, but I was going to ask him. And then I thought, did he just judge me because I'm fat, you know? I bet it wasn't 2 days later. It come out in the public that he did not like being seen with his daughter because she was too fat. I mean, that's their words. You know, they had copied one of his assistants or something and said that about Tiffany. You know, which now Tiffany, you know, she's real skinny or whatnot. But I thought, I knew what I was thinking was right. But anywho, the point is that this man, people, all these people saying Trump's got all these people around him, you know, and he's just receiving all of this wrong information, and there's a coup, and he just don't know what he's doing. People, that is the most intelligent man I've ever met. He knows what he's doing. He is not stupid. He's not stupid. You know? So, anyway. Now, another thing about Trump that y'all do need to know, he's very charismatic. I mean, he's very funny, actually. You know, he can make you laugh in a minute. So he can suck you in. You know, he's very powerful. Anyway, I, of course, reject your views that Trump will become a Hitler, Antichrist, and redesign the Constitution, overturn our government, and set up a new world order. Isn't that sad? Because she cannot see that he just gave Elon the rights to go in there and restructure our entire government. That is on the church, she says. Donald J. Trump does not have the power or authority from God to overturn our government or persecute the church. Can you believe that? Nor do we, the church, give away that power to any man. And that's the end of the letter. So, needless to say, I was very sad about this letter yesterday because I love this woman very much. I am going to write her back today. I had a long talk. You know, Dennis read this letter, and I had a long talk with him about how to handle this because, you know, Dennis is my husband and we talk about everything. So like I said in that letter, when I wrote all these pastors, I said, I am writing this letter with the full blessing of my husband, you know, because I want people to know that I'm not a wild, you know, I am under submission to authority. And, you know, the authority is my husband. But the sad thing about the letter that I do want to address is the fact that I was very close to her for 3 years. And when she wrote me back, she did not address anything personal. She didn't address that she knew that God told me my husband was coming. She knew that it took 17 years for it to come to fruition. You know, so she knew the miracle of that and then living on a farm. And, you know, she didn't discuss anything about me as a person. That kind of hurt, you know. But she's addressing it from the position of NAR. That's where that came from. You know, so now we know they're official. Because I'm telling you, she's up there with them. And so what she says is what these people are believing, you know. So we know now what they're believing is that Trump doesn't know anything, that the church prayed him in, that he is doing the will of God. He's not going to overturn the government. He is not going to change the Constitution. He's not going to hurt the church. He's not going to be a Hitler. He's not the Antichrist. He's, you know, so they're believing that he is legit and that when the COVID happened, that he was not anything a part of that, that it was a coup, that he was lied to and forced to do that. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? This is what we're dealing with this morning. You know, these people that have this firm belief that I am completely off my rockers here. And, you know, that they are on the side of righteousness. So, in other words, you know, they give him a blank check, is the way I'm seeing it. He can do anything. He can say anything, you know, because he has their blessing. And this is a real sad indictment of the church. But I will tell you guys this. I will write her back today with the fullest of honor. I served this woman. I will not dishonor her. I will write her back and I will, you know, let her know that I really appreciate her at least hearing what I have to say. I know it's hard for her to swallow, you know, but only thing I can do and all of us can do from this point is that God will water those seeds. In other words, the seeds were planted. I obeyed the Lord. My hands are off of it now. And God takes it from here. He had me do that for a reason. I remember one time when I was working for the United Methodist Publishing House back in 1990. And I was leaving McDonald's. I worked in the office in accounts payable. And I was leaving the office, and I had just spent my last dime on a salad that I was going to put in the refrigerator for lunch. And we worked right next to the president's office, you know. And so I turned right to go on the road. We was in downtown Nashville on Broadway. And this homeless man was crossing the street, and he had no shoes on. His clothes were ragged. You know, he was walking with a cane. And had like a backpack on his back. So he was walking the street in front of me. So I had to stop in order for him to walk across the street to this gas station. So he walked on by and I, you know, kept going to the office. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, go back and give that man your food. And I said, but Lord, I just spent my last money. I need that for lunch. You know how you are. He said, I said, go back and give him your food. I said, yes, sir. So I turned the car around, went back to the gas station. So he was standing there, and I walked up to him with that bag of food from Walmart. And I said, from McDonald's. I said, sir, are you hungry? He said, yes. And I held the bag in front of him, and I said, well, the Lord wants you to have this food. Now, on my way to work, I had just left a prayer meeting the night before where the fire of God was on. As you know, it was one of them awesome hoedown prayer meetings at somebody's house, which I showed you in the you people that's in the Bible college. I showed you the picture of her, Sister Gladys. So I had already been on fire the night before, praying in tongues all the way to work, worshiping God and stuff. So I was on fire. I was up here in the heavenlies, if you know what I'm saying. So I handed him the bag and I said, well, the Lord wants you to have this food. And he goes, and this demon voice spoke out of him and he goes, well, if the Lord wants me to have it, then I don't want it. I leaned over and touched his shoulder with my other hand. I said, but sir, he's so good. When I said that, his eyes rolled up in the back of his head. He starts convulsing and foam starts coming out of his mouth and these demons are screaming. And we're just standing there right there at this gas station, you know. So it's right here in front of God and everybody and he's like, rah, you know. And so he takes off running. Well, I'm still standing there with this salad. And so I was like, after all that complaining about me having to give him my salad, I'm still standing here with my salad. So I get in the car and I'm like, well, that's weird. So I still was able to eat my salad. So I go, you know, to church that night and I'm telling Sister Gladys a story about meeting this man. And I said, now ain't that funny the way this man reacted after we had just had that prayer meeting last night? She goes, well, it sounds like to me them demons reacted to the presence of the Lord on your life when you touched his shoulder. That's why they did that. Them demons, you know, them demons were coming out, and that's why he was screaming and took off running. I said, well, the one thing I don't understand, Sister Gladys, is why didn't he take the salad? You know, because I'm sitting there. The Lord told me to give it to him, but he didn't want it. So this is what she told me. When the Lord tells you to do something, your job is to obey. Whether they take that salad or not is up to them. Bam. That is how I learned about obedience. The people, you never know people. Every person has their own walk in life. You don't know what they're listening to, what they believe in their heart. Until people get under pressure, then you'll see, you know, on the outset how people are when they get under pressure. But my job to these 27 pastors was to deliver the warning one last time before this hits them and everybody in their church. You know, one time I was in this church serving, and this pastor had a pretty good sized church, you know. It was probably 400 or 500 people. And it was, you know, a really good church. I really enjoyed serving there and whatnot. And he had this woman that was driving their bus, you know, and she was living in sin. She was living in fornication, you know, living with somebody outside of marriage. So she was out of the will of the Lord for sure. So, I was out of town. I had already been serving him, I guess, a couple of months. And I was real close to him. I mean, you know, I worked in the church office and I would work all day long. You know, of course, none of these people ever paid me, but I would do all their live streaming and their website and, you know, their social media and their graphics and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so I was out of town. The Lord gave me a dream. And he said, I want you to write that pastor a letter. And I want you to warn him. And I want you to tell him that if he does not get rid of that perversion that he has opened up to the youth of his church, because she worked in the youth department as one of their leaders, that it will flow into his grandchildren. And that he needs to shut the gate to perversion, because he's clogging up the crystal clear waters from the throne by allowing the perversion in his church. So I was like, oh, Lord, help me so he don't get mad at me, because this pastor, you know, I'm not even going to tell you what state he's in. I almost said it, but this pastor was in this culture where men are very manly. They kind of dog women, if you know what I'm saying. Like one of his best friend, I served him all the time and he always put me down. But God still made me serve him. You know, he was intimidated by me being a doctor. So he was always like, these people with the name of doctor think they're better than everybody else, you know, just redneck type deal. But anyway, so I was real nervous about sending him this letter, but I obeyed the Lord. So I wrote him and I was like, Pastor, you know, the Lord gave me a dream last night and, you know, he gives me instructions in dreams, and he told me that he wants me to tell you this. I said, and as bad as I hate to tell you this, you know, I have to honor the Lord. So I told him, the Lord says that you have this person in your church, you know, that's in the youth department that is living in sin, in fornication, and their perversion is opening up perverted devils in your youth group. So if you do not shut that door and that gate, that this will flow into your granddaughters, because he had these granddaughters he was so proud of. They were very pure and beautiful and whatnot. And so I obeyed the Lord and sent the letter. What a farce I went through over that letter. Oh, it was horrible. I got back to the church. It was like World War III. His pride, oh my world. His pride was out the roof. He was so mad. I mean, you could just tell he was on fire. He was so mad. I was sitting in the church. This was on a Sunday morning, right after I got back from out of town. And I'm sitting on the front. Do y'all like my stories? I have a lot of them, don't I? But I was sitting on the front, pew. Of course, you know, I was doing live streaming, so I'm filming him, you know, while he's preaching. And boy, he preached right to me. I mean, he let me know how the cow ate the cabbage. He's like, here you are, making fun of somebody else, living in sin, when you have aught against your brother. Now, the reason he was saying that is because that other guy that I told you would put me down all the time about being a doctor, he knew that I was serving all these. I served in that town probably four or five ministers, not just this one. That I was doing all this for free and I had no money. So he tells everybody at this revival we was at, everybody come with me. We're going to go to this restaurant and, you know, I'm going to pay for everybody's meal. So when we get to the restaurant, I'm standing there with all these other ministers and he's like, you go through, you go through, you go through, you go through. And he left me as the only one he did not pay for. And I'm standing there on the other side of this gate, knowing that I just built this man's website, did his graphic design, everything, but he refused to buy my $10 meal. So I'm standing over there like, I forgive him. Forgive me, Lord. After, you know, he had just been putting me down at church, you know, just goofy stuff he would do. But anyway, so this other lady felt sorry for me. So she walked up to me and said, don't worry, I'll pay for your meal. So she paid for my meal. So I went to the pastor and I said, listen here, pastor, we got to have a meeting. And I told him, I would like a meeting with you and your friend because this needs to be dealt with. You know, I'm sitting here serving all you guys. And if there's a hatred or bitterness here, I'm the type that let's nip it in the bud. Let's deal with this thing. It's not going to fester. Let's nip it in the bud right now. This is how I roll. But the pastor never wanted to confront this guy. He never wanted this meeting. So this festered, okay, for like 2 or 3 weeks by the time this letter was sent, and then he got real mad at me. So when he was blasting me from the pulpit, he says, you're sitting there mad at your brother and demanding a meeting, and you think you're better than somebody else living in fornication, yada, yada. I mean, he blasted me up one end down the other in front of all these people. I was like, Lord, help me, you know. But all these things that I went through on all of my pit experiences, I know it was God preparing me for what's coming, the persecution to me publicly on a global scale because of what I've exposed and what I've done. I knew it back then that it was all boot camp for being publicly humiliated, like what God showed me back in, I think it was September, of what's coming to me, you know, over what I've done, revealing what Trump is doing. So I just want to end this today before I give you the word that the Lord gave me this morning. I want to end this part about the warning to the pastors that I did all this with the heart, you know, when I wrote this letter to these pastors, that I was really trying to help them and their congregations, like I did that one man when I wrote him that letter, the warning from the Lord. Let me tell you what ended up happening. After he blasted me, okay, I took it and, you know, I just went to the altar and cried to the Lord about it or whatever. And he's always the one you lean on. So it wasn't long after that, you know, God moved me on. So a year later, he never did anything about that woman. And so a year later, I happened to be coming through that town. So I contacted him. Oh, I'm coming through your town. I'd love to see you in your church. You know, what time is church and whatnot? And he'd never answer me back. So I thought, that's weird. So, because I did stay with him, you know, a couple of weeks after that and walked in love. You know, I mean, I didn't leave in no big brawl or nothing. So I thought it was weird that he wouldn't write me back. And then, so I thought, well, I'm going to get a hotel and I'm just going to show up. So I got a hotel and I showed up and I was like, oh, no way. There was his daughter, granddaughter, sitting on the front row, full of perversion, sitting next to a young teenage boy looking like he's ready to go at her right there. Perversion on a stick. And I looked and I thought, and he knew I saw it too. And he was embarrassed because he knew that what I had warned him about hit his house. Because see, this is what I tell people. If you don't shut that door to that perverted, foul devil, this is what God was saying to President Trump and to the Republicans. If you don't shut that door, it's going to overtake you. And see, that's what ended up happening. Now, you know, he's trying to act like he's, you know, shutting down some LGBT stuff. But let me tell you, go back and read what it is that he's shutting down. He's not shutting down LGBT. Oh no. He is full-fledged. He even has Caitlyn on his team. What's his name? Bruce Jenner. I said no. Okay, so there we go. I finished with that. Let's pray, and then I'm going to give you the word. Let me see what time this is. How long I've been on here already. All right. Let me write this down because I can cut that out and make it a separate video. Okay. All right, now, I have a good, powerful word for you this morning, so don't leave, okay? All right, now, everybody turn, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your word this morning. We thank you for waking me up at 3:00 this morning, Lord, and dealing with me about all this. And I thank you, Lord, that you're faithful, no matter what happens, Lord. And I do forgive all these pastors, Lord. And I pray you forgive me, too. Lord, and every one of us, Lord, that have hurt other people or have offended other people, Lord, forgive us, Lord. We forgive all others as well. Lord, we want to walk in peace and unity with you, Lord, and we know we have to have a clean heart to do that, Lord. So we thank you and give you praise, Lord, over this word that's going to be released today. Lord, let your anointing be upon it because it's all about you, Lord, not about me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you would turn your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you. Now see, the Lord told me that he was giving me the nations from the north, south, east, and west. Y'all remember that story? That was in the state of Louisiana in the year of 2015. I was so caught up in my suffering, angry, couldn't take it no more. you know, the way people persecuted me and put me down and made fun of me because I was homeless while I was serving all these people. So I went to the state of Louisiana, and I stayed with a woman that I went to Bible college with. And they were pretty wealthy. And, you know, so when I got there, she told me, she said, I got you a job making $100,000 a year. Now, you know, they want somebody just like you, you know, corporate communications, you know, it's all about the church and whatnot. And they'll give you a brand new car, and I will let you live here for free while you work there. You know, this way you can save your money, because I know you've been out here for 2 years, you know, serving all these people for free. And, you know, so at first I was like, I can't, sister, because I just kicked off radio and now I'm kicking off television. So I have to obey the Lord on this national tour. And man, she was like, yeah, but look, you can do both and have this job. Oh, that was so tempting. I was like, man, I went to school to make money. You know, I worked real hard. You know, I studied under them three global firms. Oh, how I want to make money. People don't know how much I love to work. I mean, how much I would love to have a regular paycheck that I could depend upon. And wouldn't have to worry about other people having to give me money and then how they look at me because I have all this education and they donate. And then they think I owe them because they donate to me even though they're supposed to be donating to the Lord. I said, yes, I'll take it. I will take it. So, boy, I filled out that application. Went to bed that night. The old Lord come to see me in my dream, and he rebuked me every which way but Sunday. He said, you are not to stay here. You have to get back on the road and do what I tell you to do, and you got to go out there in the driveway in the morning. There's a 6-foot cross out there. You're to get you a hammer and some nails and a post-it notes and some tissues and a blanket, and I want you to go out there and I want you to nail your sorrows on the cross. So he told me no. I had to stay in my suffering, which I couldn't take another minute, right? So I got up and go in the kitchen. That woman's in there just a bawling. God, he messed with me all night long. He told me I had to take my hands off you, and I'm not allowed to help you, and you have to get back on the road, and yada yada. So I told her, I said, yeah, that's the same thing you told me. So I said, I need all this equipment. So she gave it to me. I go out there in the driveway, lay the blanket down, put my tissues down. I look at the cross, and I look at the post-it notes, and I said, the first thing I was mad about, I want a job. I wrote it on that post-it note. I want a job. So I put it, I put it on that cross. I put that nail on that post-it note. I took that hammer, and I went to swing. And I had a vision of Jesus when they nailed him to the cross. And then I was like, Jesus died for me, and I'm crying about not having a job. So I'm hammering it. Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And then the next one. I'm tired of the persecution from everybody. When I'm out here helping them for free and the way they persecute me, and I put that on the cross. Put that nail on there, and I take that hammer and I go back and I'm like, there's Jesus on the cross. I'm nailing him on the cross, and I slam that nail on there. The next one. All my family is, they've all abandoned me. They all persecute me. I'm tired of it. Put that on the cross. I filled that whole cross with all my anger and sorrow of suffering. But by the time I got done with all my sorrows and whining, I had a huge pile of tissues, snotty tissues, on that blanket. where I had cried myself silly in repentance and asking God to forgive me every which way but loose. I am so sorry that I'm so miserable right now, but I got to have more grace, Lord. I can't do this walk anymore. I got to have some grace. So I got on my knees and I wept and wept and wept in repentance, cried and cried and cried. Because then I realized how stupid I sounded after Jesus sat there and died on the cross for me and gave up his life. And then I'm giving up my life, but it hurts too much and I'm whining about it, see? So I got on the, you know, got up off the ground and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to go over there on that gravel and I want you to put all that stuff down. I want you to catch it on fire and I'm going to consume it myself. And I thought, how in the world is he going to consume all these snotty tissues? So I thought, well, I go in there and I get a lighter. So I take those snotty tissues, put them on the bottom, trying to be slick, put all the post-it notes on the top that are all dry, caught them on fire, and then I go over there and sit down on the porch and I'm watching this fire blazing. All of a sudden, this funnel cloud come out of heaven and it come down and it went, swirled around that fire and went bam, and the whole thing disappeared. And the Lord told me, he said, your repentance has brought you the nations from the north, south, east, and west. That's what he told me. My repentance brought me the nations. So now I'm reading this and he's bringing this back to my memory, this first one. And go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gave you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish it aught from it, which means don't take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. One time the Lord commanded me when I was at the right next to the Supreme Court. I was in this meeting on New Year's Eve. And it was like 20 minutes to midnight. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to go over there to the U.S. Capitol and I want you to worship me at midnight in front of everybody. This was New Year's Eve 2019. Lord, that day I had been all over that city. You know, in D.C., you have to walk everywhere. So needless to say, I lost 60 pounds while I was there. So I walked over there, you know, and I was about to collapse as it was. So I go over there and I obeyed the Lord. I obeyed his command, all right. I turned that music on. I worshiped him like there was no tomorrow right there in front of everybody at midnight. Well, by the time I got done doing my jig, I left there. When you leave there, you have to walk down this hill to get down to Union Station, which is where you ride the trains. Now, picture this. This is some woman, you know, that's in her 50s. Well, actually, I think I was 50 at the time. I just turned 50 when I went to D.C. And going to the train station at midnight by yourself on New Year's Eve, that's not too safe, is it, you know? But I was so exhausted from all the walking and then all the dancing and all the carrying on I've been doing. And I couldn't hardly walk down that hill. I am telling you, I was wobbling. I was about to collapse. My legs, my muscles, I just could not take another thing. So this police officer, which was a Capitol Hill policeman, he looked at me, he goes, this is so funny. He said, ma'am, are you okay? I looked at my man and I said, absolutely, I'm not okay. I said, I'm too fat, sir. I said, I've been obeying God all over this city today, and my body can't take another step. That man laughed so hard. He was about to roll. He thought that was the funniest thing. So this Capitol Hill police officer, you know, he said, ma'am, grab my arm. He walked me the rest of the way all the way down to the train station. I barely made it home. I barely made it home that night. But anyway, okay, so getting back to the story here. Verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-Peor. And then while I'm reading it, I'm thinking about all these stories I tell you guys. All these miracles I've seen the Lord do all these years, you know. Y'all have heard probably all of them by this point. And it's like the Lord was telling me this morning, remember what I've done. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm gonna praise his name. Remember that song? Each day is just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. So the Lord was reminding me, remember what I've done for you. For all the men that follow Baal, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. Remember what God's been telling us lately at church, which I do love my pastor. God fights our battles. And God was letting me this, know this, because he knows, God knew how sad I was over this letter yesterday. It was from a woman I so highly esteemed and loved so much. But you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. So to all of you that are listening to this, you're alive. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember how he saved you. Remember, and you're still alive. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land wherever you go to possess it. So this is a word for you guys. Remember, I told you, I know that my time is short because of what I've done. The Lord's already told me. But the Lord told me I'm to train you guys to finish the mission. I will not see the promised land, you know, kind of like a Moses deal. I won't see it, but you will. So this is a word for you this morning to remember what the Lord has done. Because you have been taught and you know what you're facing. You know the enemy that you're facing. And you get ready to go in the land. God has prepared you guys. He has trained you guys. He has equipped you guys to take the land. I know that God is dealing with some of you guys about your missions. And God is saying this morning, get ready to take the land. You haven't been trained for nothing. You've been trained for greatness. And it's going to come with a lot of persecution. And it's going to come with some of you martyrdom. But you're going to take the land before you leave. That's one thing I can say. I've lived a good life. I've had many stories and many triumphs and many victories. To God be the glory. But God told me in that dream, I want you to train them to take the land. My story is about finished, but yours is beginning. And remember yesterday when I told you guys, I said, you guys are to enjoy the pit, you know, embrace your suffering, embrace the, what was that word I used? Embrace your I'll have to look it up. But embrace where you're at, in other words, your training that you're in. Okay. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Remember when I went to the woods last year because I was having a powwow with God, you know, and I said, I'm tired, Lord. This is what I was telling him in the woods. I am tired. I'm done. I'm tired. I can't take anymore, yada, yada. And God spoke to me back then. He said, I did not give you this wisdom with understanding for nothing. I did not send you to London to study under the top global firms and then put you in the White House and do all the things I've done, send you across this country and everything, for you to quit. You're not quitting. I'm not done with you. That's what he told me then. He said, actually, you have to go back to the White House. I was like, no, don't send me back there. I would pray he wouldn't send me back now. Please don't send me under Trump, please. But he sent me up there to proclaim Paul, to proclaim to the church, do not back off Paul. Do not. And now I showed you the other day on the news, that man that's up there preaching against Paul. So they're already going public with it. Don't turn on Paul. Don't let them convince you that the New Testament is wrong based upon Paul. That's what they're doing. They're trying to say, and of course these are people that are working with the Noahides, the Hebrew roots, all that stuff, to try to get everybody to give up the name of Jesus Christ, where all the power is, and to give up Christianity. You know, we're the last Mohicans. I mean, if it's true that there is 89% of these people have been jabbed and there's only 10% left, think about it. The remnant, there's only 10% of the remnant. You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't give up Paul. You do like the last Mohican, you know, you do it like Braveheart, you know, where you go out here screaming, I ain't giving up Paul. Y'all have to remember who Paul is. He was Saul, you know, because this guy was making fun of him saying, you know, he wasn't even an original disciple. You know, who is this guy? Well, he was Saul. He was the one going around killing all the apostles, killing all the Christians. God radically stopped him on the road to Damascus and saved him. So then he turned into a radical person. And his name, God, changed his name to Paul. So don't give up on the New Testament. Don't give up on Paul. Don't give up on the name of Jesus. That's where your power is. Okay, so let's go back to the word. So when it says, like in verse 6, where it says, surely this great nation, nation is humans. You are all the nations. When it says nations, it's talking about you. Your understanding in the sight of the nations. I know God has given me the nations from the north, south, east, and west. That's all of you guys. The nations, the people. Surely this great, I thought about that too, that word great, the way they try to say make America great again. I just had a revelation. No way. No way. I never saw this before in all my life. Make America, which is a nation, which is the person, great again, which means you are not America, you are not a citizen till you get jabbed. Thus, you're not great, according to the beast. Make America great again. Whoa! Because again, we heard from the rabbi at the 2020 RNC, Make America Great Again is putting everybody under Judeo-Christian foundation. They're doing away with the Christian foundation of the country. So, looking at it from this point, Make America, the people, great again, going back to the Judeo-Christian, which means the new foundation. But the only way you're going to get great in their eyes is you have to take the jab. Because the jab works with the cryptocurrency, which works with the one world monetary system, which works with the global ID, which works with the Microsoft 666, which works with Bill Gates, which works with Microsoft, yada, yada. But in God's eyes, like what we're seeing right here with the scriptures, the great here means him. Because he says here, keep therefore and do them, what? The commandments of God, which means what? Obey him. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which means other people are watching you, right? Which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and an understanding people. For what nation is there so great? Who has God so nigh unto them? As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. Bam. I thought about, you know, she did acknowledge in the letter, and I'm thankful for this. You know, she did acknowledge that she saw the favor on my life from God. Well, the favor is still there. It hasn't left me. And when you think about God being close to us, that's a gift. Remember what I told you about what God told me when I was giving that speech in 2017 in front of the White House, and I was standing up there. I was so disappointed because we only had, you know, 10 people show up for the rally after doing a national tour, 36 states, 18,000 miles, you know, 6-month tour, and only had a amount of people show up. And while I was giving my speech, the heavens opened up and the great cloud of witnesses come through the sky. And there was my mother with them. And she had just died 9 months prior. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, this is why you do things. It's not the eyes of man. So never look at numbers. I'm so glad he told me that because of the way YouTube has done me and everything. He said, never look at numbers. You only do things based upon the great cloud of witnesses watching you. Well, fast forward, you know, that was 2017. So now it's 8 years later. Okay. So 8 years later, now we see there's only 10% of us left, you know, if you was to measure it by that, okay? But just showing you how small the numbers are. And that's 10% of the population. How many of them are Christians, okay? So what, 2%? I mean, you know, it's like the numbers are so low, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable because if you look at, like, Deborah Tavares, the one that does that StopTheCrime.net, where she exposes all this stuff for years and years, this woman has. She says that it takes over people's minds, which I can tell you guys, over the past 5 years since this thing's been rolled out, the testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony of people confessing how people have changed. It is a real thing. And much less all the deaths and the suffering and the cancers and all the other death that comes with it, because the devil is stealing, killing, and destroying from that. But to think about what it does to the brain. And I want to tell y'all this while I'm thinking of this. Somebody else brought it up, you know, how, and even she talks about it, you know, the smart dust and the things, the toxins that they try to put in you through foods and through the sky and the different ways they do things, okay? Every one of you need to know, you need to detox all the time. If you don't do anything but just drink detox teas, buy you some teas that are detox. You need to drink you at least one cup a day, okay? Because, and I recommend ivermectin, because it's really good with getting rid of parasites and stuff like that. Maybe once a month is how we do it, you know. But what I mean is that you need to, because we cannot control what's happening in the world, you know. We can't control what they're putting in the skies or the food or whatnot. We pray over our food. That is our responsibility and that's our guard, yes. But when you're walking around breathing, you're walking in the rain, you're walking in the snow, that you know all this stuff is fake, yada, yada, you know. That stuff is going to try to enter and may enter your system. But we do still have authority because we did not invite this in. Okay, so we have the opportunity to fight it, you know, to the only way the other people can is they have to renounce, because what they did is they opened the door to the beast. They allowed him to come in through fear or whatever tactic it was that caused them to take it. They have to shut that door and shut the devil up because he's a legalist. If you don't do it, that death is still operating there. So you need to shut it. You need to tell that thing, because there is two more parts of this thing coming. And if you cannot shut it down on level one, you will not shut it down level two and three. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Because this thing, okay, let's go back to the beginning of this broadcast. Okay. The cyber. Let's say they do this COVID cyber. They shut the world down, all the internet. David Wilkerson prophesied, I think it was David Wilkerson, wasn't it? Or somebody who, some, no, Kim Peters. Somebody prophesied, I think it was Kim Peters, who said that, you know, all of the cyber, it's all going to go down, but when it comes back up, the beast is alive. The Antichrist is on the scene fully, okay? And it's at this point where we know we will not be back on the grid. No more being online. No more. You got to throw your phones away. And the thing is, don't keep the, once we get to that point, when they do flip over to Web 3, we're done. Trash your phones, break them, tear them up, burn them. You know, don't leave a trace of that phone in your house. It is nothing but surveillance and yada, yada. That, get the TVs out of your house, get the computers out of your house, trash them, burn them. You know, because there's no more going back, you know, and the people that enter back in once this thing comes back alive and the beast's tentacles are fully alive, you know, it's going to suck people into Web 3, which is where everything now is within the human body. Okay. They're actually getting rid of computers and things on the outside. You know, your eyeballs will be your cameras. You will have the internet on the inside of you type of deal, which will be your God, because the beast will be in there fully, you know, type of deal. But when that time comes, we will not be able to cross back over. If you cross back over, you've sold your soul 100%. You know, there will be no doubt then the mark of the beast, because you will not be able to buy or sell. But what is the first thing they require for you to go back in? The jab. Why? because they have to come in. That's how they come in. So just know that. Let's go back to the word here. Okay. And what nation is there so great, verse 8, that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself. Now, this is a warning from God, okay? Take heed. What does heed mean? Be thoughtful, be cognizant, be sober, be alert, you know? And keep your soul diligently. Which means what? It means that you're going to God. Look, this person is from Damascus. Garden of Eden Ministries, may I help you? All right, they didn't talk. So, hello, Damascus. Okay, so keep your soul diligently, which means be sober and alert. Like we was with the V, we watched our temple vigilantly. We said no, and many paid the price. And lest you forget the things, look at this, watch this. Lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them your sons and your sons' sons. So I think about this, okay? If we open that door to the enemy, we've opened the door to our children. We got to guard our heart and guard our mind and be willing to lose. You're going to have it set in your mind. And I'm saying this in love to everyone listening. You're going to have it set in your mind that you're willing to lose everything for Jesus. Because when this internet goes down, there's no more income, you're done. It is you and Jesus at that point. Because everything will go haywire. Your checking accounts, all your bills, yada, yada. Everything's done. Time, the way I would see it is, because I don't know if I'll be here then, but time will be done. So you will need to have it set in your mind, it's me and Jesus at this point. God, you get, and I've told you guys story after story of where God has asked me to give up all my material things time and time again. You have to be willing to give it up. Your children, your spouse, everything. You cannot love anything more than you do Jesus. Nothing. No person, place, or thing, or yourself. Some people will sell their soul just because they cannot suffer face. And what I mean by that is their image is so important to them. They cannot be tarnished. So they will let the devil run amok to save their own face. You cannot even love yourself. You have to love Jesus more than you love anyone. And me and Dennis, as a married couple, already had this conversation. If they come to you and they threaten me and they're going to slit my throat or whatever, you know, for you not to take the mark or whatever, just let me go. Don't hold nothing. You obey Jesus at all costs. And you guys, I know this sounds crazy, but the world is crazy, okay? You're going to have to love the Lord, and you'll see here in the scripture what I'm talking about. Because lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen. Now, let's just take the jab, and I'm saying this in love. I'm not saying this haughty or anything. Please hear my heart, because I know there's probably people listening here that took it. So I'm being very, very careful. I'm treading on thin ice here. Because I know I don't want to hurt any of you. I don't. You know, that's why me and Dennis, you know, made our mind up that we would minister to the point from that if you did it, you need to recognize the error of your ways and you need to go to God in a full blown out repentance mode. And you need to ask him to forgive you for not trusting him, because that you came in agreement with that agenda. And that door is still open until you shut it and you confess what you did and you tell God you are sorry for that, that he is your God, not them. And then you shut the door, you renounce it, say, I renounce you. I am telling you right now, Satan, I am not in agreement with you. I will not take another thing. I will not agree with this thing. I will not accept any benefits thereof. Because many people will say, oh, I'm not going to take anymore, but, you know, I'll still go in this restaurant that says that if you had the V, you could get in, but everybody else that didn't. I still want that benefit. Yep. I still want to be able to fly because I have that benefit. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You know, you need to repent and turn just like it is for the nation. You can't walk both sides of the fence here. But let's go back and let's go back to 2020 when all this was happening. And let's look at it from this point of view. Watch this. Okay. Take heed to yourself that you don't taint your blood. You don't let the beast in. So keep your soul diligently, lest you forget where you came from. And what did we just hear from Deborah Tavares? I told you about reading her stuff. And she says they're going straight for the brain. Well, what is that? What are they wanting to do? Cause them to forget their past. They forget about their Christian heritage. They forget about the miracles of God. Suddenly, it just leaves them. Not saying it did to everybody then, but that's what they're working on. Look at Facebook's wife, Chan. That's her whole initiative is the brain. That's why I got off Facebook, because what they're doing to people's brains. So anyway, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Don't that make you want to fear God? Don't that make you fear God? Lord, I don't want to do anything to offend you, Lord. Help me to stand strong in this hour. But teach them your sons and your sons' sons. So God was speaking to me this morning about teaching you guys. You know, this is my mandate right now till my last breath is to teach you guys and to help prepare you for what's coming, especially the day that thou stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me. Here's that fear. All the days that they shall live upon the earth, and they shall teach, that they may teach their children. If y'all have children at home, make sure you're teaching them, you know, to love their Lord more than anything on the earth. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire, and you heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard the voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you may do them in the land where you go over to possess it. Take you therefore good heed unto yourselves. Now this is the way I see it from me to you, passing on to you. This is kind of, I almost see this as the Abrahamic blessing today, where I'm giving you guys my blessing. Because Not that I'm anything great or anything like this, but one thing that everybody can say about me is that my stories are true. And I have, you know, obeyed the Lord across this country and done great feats, but only because of obedience. But I see this, you know, that you guys take heed to yourselves what you have heard from me. You know, remember these stories. They're for a time when you're going through stuff. And then you're like, yeah, I remember when June said, you know, that she used to do this and God turned around and he stopped that woman's hand from punching her in the face. That angel stopped that woman's hand right in front of her nose and held her hand back. If God will do that for June, he'll do it for me. You know, I remember when June told that story about that angel that showed up that one night at 2 o'clock in the morning and talked to her. You know, I remember her story, see? For you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke to you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Definitely, you know, don't put me on a platform or anybody. But he's saying that these people was down there at the bottom of the mountain and made a calf while Moses was up on the mountain in the fire. And then Moses got all these commandments from God come day, you know, and God was up there showing out, I am that I am, you know, with the earth shaking. You know, the mountain moving and the fire and everything and all these miracles happening. Then he comes down and all the people had turned on God. You know. So that's what God is saying is don't remember what happened. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of a winged fowl that fly in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that's in the waters beneath the earth, and lest thou lift up thy eyes to heaven, when thou see the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, should be driven to worship them and serve them which the Lord thy God has divided unto all the nations under the whole heaven. In other words, there's nothing in the earth to worship. Nothing. Because, see, the beast is trying to get everybody to worship Gaia, where they're worshiping Mother Earth. You know, you cannot do that. We can't worship the birds, the bees, nothing. But the Lord has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him, this is for every one of you guys, a people of inheritance, as you are this day. What does that mean? You are in the kingdom of heaven. You have the inheritance of God. You have the power and authority of heaven behind you. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swear that I should not go over to Jordan. See, this is why he lost Jordan. And that I should not go into that good land which the Lord thy God has given you for an inheritance. And I do see this for myself. I plowed the ground like Moses did. I went out there. I prayed across this country. I did all those great feasts. I paved the way. You guys are going to see the miracles like you have never seen. The glory of the Lord like you have never seen. The inheritance that's been waiting there for you guys. It's going to be awesome. But I must die in this land. I must not go over to Jordan. But you shall go over and possess that good land. See, the way I see it is, all of you guys, when it talks about you going into your promised land, and I'm saying this under the presence of the Lord right now, you are the remnant people. You're the last Mohican. I told you guys this months ago. I said, we, you know, have exposed enough of what the church has done wrong. If you don't be the church, who is? You cannot depend on other people to do what is right. You have to do it. You have to be the change, and God is telling you the land and the harvest is ripe for you to take the land, possess that good land. It's the harvest. Remember I told you guys that guy that I interviewed, you know, that had the dream of Jesus walking him up to the mountain, and then he looks in these caves and there's all these people with their armor that had been beat up and everything that was sitting to the side, and they was all singing to one another, encouraging one another, and the angels were in the cave, you know, ministering to these people. And this guy is Jesus, who are these people? And Jesus says, this is my bride. She's been beat up in battle. So they're in a cave right now. They're being restored. They're being healed. They're being nurtured, just like the angels did to Jesus when he was in prayer. But you're all getting ready for battle. And when you go down that hill, just like in this vision, a trumpet blew, they all come out of the caves, they all locked arms, they looked down the hill and saw a horde of demons. And they saw on the other side of those demons was a harvest field. Millions of souls. But they can't get to the harvest till they get through the demons. Y'all hear what I'm saying? But they knew they're going to have to go to battle, and that's where you guys are. You are coming down the hill. You are locking arms. And when they went to battle with those demons to get to the harvest, they battled two by two, back to back, swords, fighting these demons. They battled and they would sing and encourage one another in battle. You can do this, sister. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, as they're battling, that saved a wretch like me. Because we know our battle is not with flesh and blood, it's with the principalities and the powers of the air. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Somebody in this battle had hit that glass wall that was the wall between these demons and the harvest come through and broke through the wall. This is you guys. You are going to see such good land of harvest. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. Everybody lift your hands right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, I recommit my covenant to you, Lord. I make a covenant right now in the name of Jesus. May the rest of my days be for your glory, Lord. Lead me to the battle, because I know you'll lead me through the battle. In Jesus' name, amen. So as the scripture says, don't forget the covenant of your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God has forbidden you. Hey, Pastor.
What's cooking?
You want to say hi to everybody?
Hello, everybody. Hope everybody's having a good day.
Yes, they are.
Beautiful day here, boy. Bright and sunny out there.
Yes, yeah, 60 degrees today.
I know, it's in the 60s.
So amazing. You smell good.
I do.
If it smells like that oil, what's that oil?
know.
You didn't take an oath. Oh, okay. We're reading Deuteronomy chapter 4. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just read on the letter from the pastor. And,
it's a sad letter, that's for sure.
Yeah, I would love for you to tell them what you thought about it. Without telling who this is, but
right,
what you thought about the letter.
I guess two words, willingly ignorant. It's just, you know, I believe most people know the truth. They just, you know, compromising. And that's some stuff I've been reading, you know, in scriptures about, you know, that, you know, we can't compromise, you know, the gospel, you know, the truth.
Yeah.
And people are so sucked into a delusion from the satanic propaganda machine. And I've been telling people this for years. You know, it's like the frog in the pot, you know. It's the propaganda. It started out, you know, decades ago, you know, these big, like we talked this morning, these big think tanks, you know, it goes way back, and minds are in a delusional state, I believe, you know. Yeah. They've just been sucked in. It's just.
Well, tell them too what you were saying this morning about, you think it may be too late to turn people around. How did you say that? And then I got to go potty while he's talking to you. I got to take a break. But go ahead and tell him what you were saying about that.
I don't know. I just, like we've been talking for a few weeks now, like the ark door is closed. I don't know if you can turn people or not, because they're, And it goes to pride.
They made their mind up, yeah.
You know, pride, you know, you just, and I'll get personal about it. In my family, and I've seen this years ago, probably 8 years ago or whatever, you know, when it flared up in me, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know, and I can see this in my, you know, I come from a big family, and it was something my oldest sister said to me years ago, and it always stuck with me, but it wasn't what she said to me, and I can't even remember how she said it, but years later, you know, after I got born again and was reading the scriptures and that, you know, the pride come up, the word, you know, pride of life and the pride, whatever, you know, that's a deep, deep subject. You know, we can do a massive study on it, but that what's rose up in me, you know, what I see within some of my family members. And so, you know, I really had to pray about it and, you know, get that. It's a curse, really. I mean, but yet now I see that even more in a few of my family members who are been sucked into, you know, the agenda that's going on right now, you know, the satanic propaganda agenda, you know, the Trumpites, you know, that's a spirit. I feel it is, you know, and it's sucking people in, and well, part of that is pride. I mean, just look at, you know,
Lucifer.
Look at Lucifer. Yeah, and look at Trump. I mean, he's so prideful and egotistic and blah, you know, the list is pretty long.
Yeah.
So
they're like their father, a lot of.
And anger, you know, and I'm, you know, been praying about that this morning, even in my own life, and it's more anger within myself, not at people.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something that's part of that. And so, I don't know, it's, you can just see it more prevalent, you know, the delusional state that people are in. You know, it's just sad. You know, they will not, again, it goes back to, you know, you have to make a decision. John 3:16.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, and that was a scripture that came up in me today. Read it once. How does that go?
Which one?
John 3:16.
Oh.
Oh, I know I'm
for God to love the world, that right, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting
right.
life.
So it's
passing tense, Brian.
But what's the two words? Whosoever will.
Yes.
You know, those are the two key words that stuck out at me, you know. And are you willing? You know, we got to point our finger at ourselves and
true.
Before other people, but it's that whosoever. Are you willing to compromise? Are you willing to love Jesus? Because that's the other part of it.
Well, that's what the word is saying here, you know, that you have to love him more than anything.
Right.
Which he says in this scripture right here, look, it says, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. That's mm-hmm. verse 24. He's jealous for us.
You're right. You know, and it's, If you're going to compromise, then you're compromising his love. Are you not? I mean, I don't know. It's, you know.
Well, thank you for being with us this morning.
Yeah. I'm heading out to the woods. I got to fix my little trailer.
What happened?
The tongue completely snapped in two yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, I was driving, coming in from the backwoods on my path. And I
pulled, he was cutting wood.
Yeah, I was cutting a tree for next winter. And I got a little 6x8 foot trailer that I throw all my tools in. And I pulled up and into my tent garage.
Yeah.
And I got off and here my trailer wasn't hooked in behind me. I'm like, what? You know, and I was just driving.
That
slowly.
Is hilarious.
And so I looked back there and I was dragging half of the tongue of my trailer.
So it was too heavy.
Well, no.
You
need another trailer. I never really had no wood on it, just my tools. But it broke. And it broke like 6 inches from the top, whatever. And it was pieced in, you know, I extended it. But anyway, so I got to go try and figure out
Lord,
how I'm going to fix that.
Let's all pray for Dennis. Lord, we pray you be with Dennis today. Lead him and guide him, Lord.
Yeah.
Have angels around him, keep him safe.
So that's my task for this morning. So.
Well, thank you for stopping the video
right.
with us. I love
you. Guys,
hey, will
bye.
You fix that thing right there, please? See it? It come off track. There you go. Thank you.
All right.
Gotta go. I love you. Okay, so back to business here. So, verse 23 says, take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. Now, see, in our day and age, in this satanic world that we live in, boy, that really comes to life because, you know, if we are not diligent to watch what's coming in our temple and we allow the beast in, you know, this is the way I see this. You know, take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant. Remember, I told you guys what the Lord told me was the mark of the beast back when I told you I saw the mark of the beast when I was in London back in 2012 is how he revealed to me. And then I wrote that book in 2015 about it. And then the Lord told me, you know, he said, do you know why I call that the mark of the beast? Because this is the RFID chip, you know, with the radio frequency identification device. And he said, it's because, you know, y'all are my bride. You know, we are betrothed. We are bought with a price. You know, we are precious. We are, you know, his. He's jealous for us. You know, this is his temple type of deal. So when a person allows this chip in, there's a breaking of the skin that takes place, just like in a sexual act when you get married, and it can... it consummates the marriage. It makes you one. Okay. So it does that. It enters in through the blood, and then it enters in like a seed, and it germinates. It
your books.
Oh, my books are here. Yay. This is for the next class. I just saw somebody else signed up for the Bible college. I'm so excited about it. Y'all only got till Friday to sign up. Make sure you guys sign up. But anyway, so when the seed comes in, it germinates, it embeds with the human and becomes one. And then it begins communicating to the beast. You know, so he told me that's why it's the mark, because it marks them. It comes in and it now, you know, owns you and stuff. So that's why I have the understanding of what I do, is because of my ministry was we are the bride, and God gave me the revelation of what the bride really is. The Bible says it's a mystery, but it is that way. It is that I am betrothed. Like, even if you're married or not on this earth, you are married. You are. I don't care if your husband died, if your wife died. I don't care if you're a man, woman, because remember, there is no male and female in this kingdom. You are married to the King. You are bought with a price. You are owned. Your temple is owned. You have a Lord over your life, you know. And so when you let the beast in and you open that door, remember the Bible says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and let me come in, I will sup with them and he with me. So if you open the door to the beast, which is sin, the Bible says that sin crouches, which tells you it's like an entity. It crouches at the door. And then when you open the door and let that sin in, it will then germinate into actions like murder, wrath, malice, you know, whatever. So we let that thing in. So we have to be diligent, because God is a consuming fire and he is a jealous God. Verse 25, when thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained a long time in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, because he wants no other lovers, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. That's a heavy saying. That you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over to Jordan to possess it. So this is kind of a warning to us this morning too. Be careful with the anointing you have. Be careful with the grace we've been given. The authority we've been given. You know, one time, Brock, when he was younger in his authority, back when he was doing the youth program, he had 75 youth come all the time, and he had a lot of authority as a young man. He was, you know, what, 17 years old, and he was casting demons out. People were getting healed. People were getting saved. You know, he was a mighty man of God. Walked in great authority, prophesying, you know, just great authority. Well, one day he was having this meeting, and this young guy, I guess he was not saved or whatever, come in, and he was disrupting Brock. Brock said he almost called the fire down that boy, and he withheld his tongue. And I told Brock, I said, I'm so glad you didn't. And I mean this, bride, because Brock had the authority. He could have, you know, really done some damage to that kid. But that's the warning that God has for us. First of all, we have to not let it go to our head, for one thing. You know, whenever we walk in this power and authority, we got to stay humble. And then we have to remember where we came from, and we have to trust the Lord and not have any other gods before him type of deal. He's warning them here. When you get over there, don't forget me, in other words. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen wherewith the Lord shall lead you. And there shall you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. So in other words, I see that kind of like the metaverse, you know, because the beast wants to push everybody in the metaverse, which I told you in my book I wrote called The Metaverse, is that the metaverse is the ark of the beast, okay? So just like the ark, the beast wants to push everybody into his ark. The only way you're going to have safety is to go in that ark with him, okay? Which means you're going to have to become a part of the beast, you know, in order to get over there. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord your God, you shall find him. Boy, this really ministered to me this morning. If we seek God, we will find him. If we seek him with all our heart and with all our soul. When you are in tribulation, now this is a promise to you guys this morning. When you are in tribulation worse than where you are now, okay? All these things are coming upon you, even in the latter days. Look at there. If you turn to the Lord your God and shall be obedient to his voice, remember what it says in the book of Revelations, let them hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church, your ear. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you. Promise, promise, promise. You watch your temple. You be careful over your temple. You watch your heart. And you stay faithful to him. He will stay faithful to you. He will back you up. In other words, you back him up, he will back you up. Neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore unto them. And I think about your parents that prayed you in where you're at. He still remembers. For as now the days that are past, which were before thee, since that day that God brought man upon the earth and asked from one side of heaven to the other, whether there had been any such thing as this great thing is, or have been heard like it? Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you did and live? In other words, people are going to be in awe at what God's going to do in your life. Amen. Or has God essayed to go and take them a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, wonders, war, and by a mighty hand? And by a stretched out arm and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. In other words, don't forget. Unto you it was showed that you might know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. In other words, bride, you need to know in your heart that he is your God. Because in the coming days, when this grid is shut down, you're going to have to know the war is on. I have no more help coming to me. It is me and Jesus. This is it. Lord, what do you want me to do? You have to hear the Lord. Because when there's no other communication systems available for you, it's only going to be you and Jesus. And you need to hear his voice. So he say, okay, I want you to get in your car and I want you to drive, yada, yada. I want you to walk. I want you to walk to your neighbor's house. I want you to do this. I want you to go to this cave. I want you to go here. I want you to do this. I want you to call this. I want, you know, you need to hear what the Lord is saying to you at that time. Okay? Out of heaven, he made you to hear his voice, that he might instruct you. And upon earth, he will show you his great fire. And you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out of his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. Did God not bring you out of Egypt? What do we consider Egypt today? We consider Egypt the world, right? God brought us out of the world. He's calling you out of Babylon, right? So it's funny that the beast, the AI, calls himself the I Am. And on that video at the COP27, he said, I am the I Am. I'm the L to all your problems. So the best way for us to get out of this is to go back to Egypt. That's what he said. And he's not kidding. He wants people to go full-fledged head into the world. And so much so that they were sell their soul to go in the metaverse. But God is saying to us today, come out of them and be ye separate. To drive out all nations, verse 38, from before you, greater and mightier than you are, to bring you in and give you their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Bam. Know therefore this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none like him. In other words, he is God here on the earth and he is God up there. Ain't nobody out here going to kill us before their time. I know what my destiny is, the Lord's already showed me, but I'm not going out until it's my time. So until then, I got a job to do, and all of you too. Do you hear me? God is the one that's in control. Even though it looks like the beast is making all these moves, it's only because of the time period that we're in. But God has another kingdom, and that's the kingdom that we operate out of. That's the kingdom of heaven. And God is moving in this realm. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I know that I do the news and I talk about what's happening in this realm. But in God's realm, he is moving and shaking. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? To drive out nations from before thee. Okay, so know therefore this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above. And on the earth beneath, there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with you and with your children after you. Come on, Lord, honor our children. Bam. We let our children go the other day. We trust the Lord with our children. They're going to do what they're going to do. But who do we trust more than our children? God. That thou may prolong your days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God gives thee forever. Then Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thereof, which should kill his neighbor unaware, and hated him not in times past. And that fleeing into one of these cities he might live. Namely, Bezer in the wilderness, in the plain country of the Reubenites, in the Ramoth and Gilead, of the Gadites and Golan and Bashan, of the Manassites. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which Moses spoke unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt. On this side Jordan, in the valley over against Bethpor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel smote after they were come forth out of Egypt, and they possessed his land. And the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, which were on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, from Aroer, which is by the bank of the river Arnon, even unto Mount Sion, which is Hermon. And all the plain on this side Jordan eastward, even into the sea of the plain under the springs of Pisgah. Y'all know whenever I read the Bible, I like to read the whole entire chapter. All right. So that's the word that I have for you guys today, is to guard the gates, guard your heart, and, you know, prepare for battle. Remember the Lord your God, and be sober and be alert and be ready for battle. For the Lord your God has went before you, and he has prepared the way. And he's the one that you listen to, because remember, your ear is your currency. Okay. All right, so let's all pray, and then I am going to have to get off here because I got some work to do, and I'm actually going to have to go live here again today to finish the news. I have part two to do. Okay, so Lord, we just thank you so much for your word this morning, and Lord, we receive your warnings about choosing you, who we're going to serve. And trusting, Lord, that if we will back you up, you will back us up, and you will not leave us or forsake us. That you have a plan for us, Lord. We have to take the land, Lord. We have a purpose to do, Lord. You're not done with us yet. So, Lord, I just pray over everybody listening, Lord. Bless them abundantly, Lord. Let their ears hear what you're saying unto them, Lord. Set them on fire for you, Jesus. Fill them with the Holy Ghost from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. Thank you that you have put a charge before us today, Lord, and let us know how much you love us, Lord. Help us to guard our temple, Lord, and because you will always make our crooked path straight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Bride. Well,